Blog Talk Radio.
He called out to Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, and Vixen. To hell with the rest. That's not Santa, it's Dean Dixon. He was dressed all in black, because that's all the rage. And he spread Christmas cheer and said, F*** Danny Cage. He had but one gift, about the size of a fiddle. It was a brand new ref shirt, folded right down the middle.
This is the Greek god, Demetrius Papadon, the greatest unsigned talent today, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
Hypothetical question. Let's say you're wrestling in front of a town, or you're wrestling in front of an audience, and let's say there's only 30 people there. But you look out into the crowd, and you see a family of four. And then you think, okay, how much did they spend for those tickets? Okay, it was $20 each. And then how far did they drive to the show? Gosh, potentially up to an hour to drive to the show. Then they had to pay for gas. Then they had to pay for food. And then that same family decides to come up to my merchandise table and buy my T-shirts, DVDs, and pictures. It would be an insult, you know, for me to do anything less than give them my 100%, regardless of how many people are there. Of course, it's awesome if you're wrestling on pay-per-view and there's 1,500 people there. But, yeah, if there's 30 people there and they've, you know, spent their hard-earned money to come watch Adam Cole wrestle, you know, you better believe I'm going to give them my best.
This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now, trust, I've been too liberal with trust. It's been given out way too easy. From now on, anybody in that locker room wants to hang with the Roughneck, they're going to have to earn my trust. I'm keeping everybody at arm's length. And Dean, if you say T-Rex arm length, I'm smacking.
That's not too far. I was they're going to be pretty close
awful.
To you.
This is Niles Young, the greasiest and most dastardly Italian in all of professional wrestling, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
And I'd also like to thank you, Dean. A couple months ago, you wrote a really good article about the match I had with Papadon. And it was the last couple lines you said that being the first ever unified champion was something that, you know, no one could take away. And, you know, that statement, like, just sits in the back of my mind. That's, you know, I always think about that. You know, no matter what happens from here on, that's
that
one, you know, no one can take. So I appreciate that from you.
Oh, well, thank you. Usually I'm the one spreading out the compliments, but thank you. I didn't know. I feel like George Bailey right now. You never know the impact you have on another man's life.
Hey guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
Welcome to yet another exciting edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host. I am the Dean of Credibility. That's right. I am Double D. And you can follow me at Folsom County. With me, as always, is the above-average comedian. That's right. It's Dan the Man Law. How are you tonight, Dan?
Hello, everybody. Hey, get. We survived. We're not dead.
And with us from the very start, it is Omega Squad, just call him Chris. How are you tonight, sir?
I am doing fine, and a happy Boxing Day to our listeners.
Hey.
And where can the fine people find you?
Fine people can find me at Omega Squad on Twitter, and they can find Dan Law at DanLaw83.
Look at that. Dan doesn't even have to say it. He has reached that point.
I have a publicist, and his name is Chris.
That's right.
Well, what I'm going to do right now, guys, we are not wasting any time.
Oh, no.
We are going to get right to the Greek god Papadon putting in the number now.
No.
So here we go.
Crap, crap, crap.
Just let me get behind this asbestos shield.
Hello.
Hello, is this the Greek god Papadon?
Yes, it is.
How are you, sir? This is, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
The Dean of Credibility. Very catchy.
Thank you, thank you. You're also with Dan Law, as always.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you, sir.
And perhaps you're... Oh, sorry, I'm sorry. I cut you off. But I was just going to say, perhaps your favorite, Omega Squad, is with us as well.
What's up, Omega Squad?
Hey, Papadon, how's it going?
Going well.
Now, we're going to get right into it. We're going to cut the fat. That's what we're doing, Papadon. Now, you had a great year. You called it the Year of the God. It all started, you were reigning champion, you defended your title all the way up until the Super 8. Of course, he had some great matches with Alex Reynolds to start out the year in ECWA, and then Johnny Silver. You held him off. You go into the Super 8, you win the prestigious Super 8 tournament. I know we already asked you plenty of times, but just that feeling once again for us here on this year-end edition.
It was an amazing feeling. It was a dream come true. And, I mean, words are hard to describe it. I mean, it was surreal at the moment. I mean, now looking back, of course, I would have won because, I mean, I'm the greatest sometime talent there is today. There is no competition whatsoever. But to be fair, the other seven competitors were very well. Very, very good technicians, very good wrestlers, and they did their thing. So it was a good night of wrestling, and just like every month, the ECWA never disappoints, and they make fans from the people all over again. They make you a fan, like their motto says, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Now, of course, later in the year, You turn on Chris Wilde in the War Games match. And
turn.
You did something.
I put that bitch in his place. That's what I did.
Okay, so you put him in this place. He took the title from you at the 45th anniversary show. You haven't been able to get it back. What's going on there, sir?
You had to go there, huh?
Yeah, that was Dean. I want to be clear that Dean asked that.
Okay, hold on 1 second, guys. 1 second. All right, sorry about that.
That's all right. That's all right. Totally understandable. It's a holiday edition. Now, you haven't been able to wrestle that from...
You're going to say it twice,
Chris Wilde's grasp. What's going on there?
Well, listen, hold on 1 second, because you just cut out a second. You have bad reception. What did you say now?
I said one more chance there, Dean.
I said you were able to wrestle the title back from Chris Wilde. What's going on?
Listen, what happened with Wilde is a travesty and an injustice. It's a black mark on the ECWA legacy. I was robbed. All right, that's it. Plain and simply put, thank you. I was robbed because John Finnegan, that fat slob referee, is on the take. I
hey,
saw
you know
him.
I was there. You didn't tap out. You didn't pin.
Listen, guy, if you ask me for my opinion, why are you answering for me?
Let me answer the question.
Otherwise, you can do the interview yourself. Think you can interview yourself. And no one will listen, just like that. So shut up and know your role. All right? All right. Like I was saying, John Finnegan's on a take. He was paid off in Happy Meals and Dairy Queen coupons, and I have eyewitnesses who witnessed it. So, as you just said, I did not tap out. I didn't submit. He used an illegal chokehold to secure a quote-unquote victory. Let there be an asterisk next to it, like Barry Bonds. But let the kid run with the title for a little bit. I'll get my belt back. I have more important, bigger fish to fry in the new year.
Well, one of those bigger fish is, of course, the returning Atu. You have a match with him coming up at New Year's Resolutions 2.
Nothing gets by you, huh, Inspector Gadget?
Well, nothing gets by me, that's for damn sure. Now, what do you have, what are you going to do to Atu? I mean, he writes a blog, he's gone, he's back. Now, what's going on?
All right, for those who didn't witness what happened or those who did, So we decided to come back last show at the ECWA. Blackheart decided to reform their little circle jerk of members, and you know, they got bigger and better guys now. They got Apollyon, and they got Rex Lawless, and Ho Chi Minh joined the group. He turned on his his brother over there, Damian Dragon, and then Atu decides to join the group. But before he decides to join the group, he decided to take a Louisville Slugger to the skull of the Greek god Papa Don to make a statement. So, with that being said, he made a mistake. You know, and if you saw the promo that I cut for the show, you'd know the mistake that he made was he let me get up. And that mistake's going to come back and bite him in the ass. Because he calls himself the Electric Jesus. I'm going to crucify the Electric Jesus on the 5th of January. You can mark my words.
Mark your words. It sounds great. Now, of course, you also have Extreme Rising coming up this weekend. How do you feel about that, going into Extreme Rising? You have some unfinished business there as well.
Of course. I mean, Extreme Rising is the 29th in Philly at the Armory. And I initially put out a challenge to all ECW originals, and Matt Hardy. So, Matt Hardy didn't answer my challenge. He tried to talk the talk. Says he would answer the challenge. He would accept. But then the office called me, said he decided he wanted to wrestle Sabu because he wanted to prove himself against an ECW icon. To me, that's like having a staring contest with Ray Charles or Stevie Wonder. It doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. What are you going to prove? You can do more drugs than this guy? Huh?
Oh.
I mean, let's face it. Well, look, man, look. Fact of the matter is, the light bulb went off inside of my head, and I said, you know what? In Delaware, I retired Tony Mamaluke, and I like Tony. I respect Tony, but he wasn't standing with us, so he had to go. He realized the business was passing by. He realized he's a dinosaur, and I noticed that he noticed that when we locked up. I saw the fear in his eyes. I smelled the piss running down his leg when he was scared, you know, and then he left his boots in the middle of the ring, and he got on the mic, and he spoke the truth, and he said that I was the future of this business, and that's a very God-honest truth. So I said to myself, well, the only regret I had with that match was that I didn't get a chance to retire two people from FBI that night, and the other person obviously being Guido. So light bulb went off. I issued a challenge to Guido. Not sure if he accepted. If he's smart, he won't. If he has some balls, he will. I mean, let's face it, Matt Hardy didn't have balls, so we know who has the balls in their relationship with Rebby Sky. It's Rebby, obviously, and I'm not talking about the balls that bounce off her chin, but I am talking about the match right now. So if he decided to accept the challenge, it'll be Guido and I in the ring, and I'll beat him and retire him in Philly.
Oh, man. So, Papa Don, you didn't join Blackheart. I mean, are you doing this for you, or are you doing this for the fans?
Screw the fans, man. They're the peasants, but they're my peasants. I'm doing it for everything and all of the above, meaning that I busted my hump for nearly 2 years to make this company relevant again. Everybody wants to be in the ECWA. All the wrestlers hear about it. Now they're realizing that this is the only independent company that gets coverage in PWI. Everybody wants to be in the Super 8. Everybody wants to have an opportunity to call the ECWA Heavyweight Champion. And that's all because of me. So do you honestly think that I will let some has-been hack in Joel Blackheart and his little merry group of merry men come here and ruin my hard work over the last 2 years? Absolutely not. So, for that being said, I did it for the honor of the company, I did it for the prestige of the company, and I basically did it because of all the hard work that I've done carrying this company and making it a successful company over the last nearly 2 years. I don't want it to be for nothing. So,
now, can you work with these other guys to fight Blackheart, or are you going to take this on single-handedly?
Well, listen, man, these guys... And I'm taking a guess you're talking about Damian Dragon and Chris Wilde.
Yeah,
and whoever
Wilde
else
and
wants to.
Yes,
and whoever else wants to join onto the fray. All they have to do is follow my lead. They follow my lead, will come out victorious. They decide to go into business for themselves. Obviously, they'll fall flat on their face like they've done with their careers. So, let's face it. And then when I'm done, maybe I'll give them a promo class and teach them how to cut a decent promo.
Ooh.
There you go. Now, I do have one announcement to make for you, sir, and drum roll, please. Now, Papadon, you have won a very prestigious award. It's our first Selly that we're giving out. That's right. You won a Selly. You are the Independent Wrestler of the Year, as voted upon the listeners of this show. So congratulations,
really?
Sir. Yes.
Thank you very much, man.
You got 47% of the vote. Your next closest competitor was Adam Cole with 20% of the vote. So there you go.
Oh, see, that's good to show you. As pretty as Adam Cole is and as pretty as people say he is, my talent outshines him any day of the week.
All right, Chris, I believe you have a question for Papadon to wrap this all up.
Yeah, just to wrap it up, we are heading into the new year. Papadon, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, to continue to kick ass and be the greatest unsigned talent that there is today in the independents. And obviously make my presence felt and make the people want to come back to watching wrestling.
That sounds great. Is there any last thing you want to say? Anything to wrap it up?
Yeah, just keep supporting independent wrestling and, you know, buy my T-shirts.
All right. Papadon, thank you so much. You, sir, have a great time tonight.
You too, my friend. Listen, are you going to give me an actual award at the 5th, or this is all tomfoolery and shenanigans?
I might, you know, shell out a few bucks and give you a certificate of gratitude.
Listen, man, all you have to do is not smoke for maybe 2 or 3 days, save the money that you spent on the Newports, and actually make this award mean something.
Okay, sounds good. I think I'll do that, sir.
All right, man, stroke it easy, take it deep, Dean.
All right. You have a great night.
Later. Bye.
All right. So that was Papadon, and we'll be right back. All right, so that was the Greek God Papadon. He is the Independent Wrestler of the Year, as voted upon by the listeners of this show. So that's something else right there.
So he gets another first. He is the first ever recipient of a Selly.
That's right.
What a year!
That just is the cherry on top. The Selly, the very prestigious Selly.
You know, we just don't give those to everybody.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I don't give anything to anybody. I'm glad I'm not going to be near you when you don't come up with anything to give them.
That's another story entirely. But we have our next guest, and this is actually going to be a huge announcement. I'm
very awesome.
I'm speechless.
I am actually excited for this, like very.
But let me just play his theme, and we'll bring him right on.
Hey, Joe, where you going with that gun of yours? Hey.
All right, Joe. Joe Zanoli, hand me a cannoli. Book it. You're back in the cell, baby.
I love that music, but I actually have a bazooka.
Oh, boy.
Like Zuka Joe. Come on, guys.
I don't know what's worse, that didn't sound right to me.
I don't know what's worse, that I knew it or that, you know, that he, I knew it.
Well, look, that's the next step. I won't get political on you guys.
Don't get political.
No.
We are not that type of show.
No.
Yeah, you should
there's
be.
There is a show I know you could call if you want to talk to them about it.
Who's that?
That's that one show that you called before that we were on that nobody listened to.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
you can't say her name?
No, it's...
I can say Bazooka Joe, but you can't say her name.
It rhymes with douchebag.
How does it rhyme with... anyway,
Joe... So now it seems, I guess, Papadon's, you know, better bring an extra bag on the 5th because he's getting 2 awards now. He's a second year in a row, Wrestler of the Year, ECWA, voted by the fans. So, Papadon, definitely his name's getting out there.
Synonymous with greatness, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he's great. I just, the end of the year and doing all the awards we did, and especially the, coming up with the nominees for, like, Wrestler, not just Wrestler of the Year, but Match of the Year, Moment of the Year, going through those. There was just so many, as far as content-wise and wrestling-wise goes, I think we had a very, very good year. We had a lot of exciting things going on. A lot of good moments of the year, not necessarily matches of the year, but,
Let me cut you off real quick. I mean, you're saying that all these things that you did and how good it was is – Dean took me to an ECWA show, and that got me back into indie wrestling. So I guess,
I heard you say that before, a few times.
I guess kind of responsible for that.
Yeah, I remember a match with Ooh La La and Shockwave at TWA. I think it was September 2010. And I was sitting in the crowd just watching people and just – watching everybody enjoying the match. And, for a long time, I wasn't too high on characters and kind of was more the no-nonsense Super 8 style, later Ring of Honor style. And, I think at that moment, I realized balance a little bit. And, I think it helps our shows a lot. A lot of the moments of the year that we had were with Ooh La La and The Boss, and when Stacy Carter brought out Cole Calloway and kissed The Boss, and when The Boss came out in a hazmat suit, and just a lot of great, the dancing sequences with Shockwave, and just a lot of good moments, not only matches and wrestlers, but just a lot of different moments. When Mike Keener put on the Kid America mask and attacked Corey Blaze after
that was my moment of the year, Joe. That was my personal favorite. Yeah.
Were you the one that voted for it? I think you're.
I tell you what. Later on,
I loved that moment, and actually, it probably would have happened a little bit earlier at the Super 8, but Corey Blaze wasn't there, and I don't know that everyone in the crowd got it or caught on to it. I think some did. But Atu coming back, another moment in the year.
Well, my head exploded on that one.
So did mine.
So you never know who's going to show up.
After towards the end of the year and seeing things about a certain somebody, that Corey Blaze Kid America moment was now my favorite.
Yeah.
It definitely, what I try to do with all of the guys and, the matches. Obviously, there are certain matches, that are more technical, popping on Adam Cole or popping on Tony Nese. But no matter who's in the ring, I try to give meaning to what they're doing, their character, and just make it, just make it exciting and have something for everybody and to make the shows, as full as possible. Even Grey Wolf and, you know, Cujo.
Oh, well, let's not talk about Grey Wolf. Not on this program
at all. Now, Joe.
Well, I'll tell you something. The show we had Grey Wolf, I got to tell you this. He had the coolest looking helmet I ever seen since Big Van Vader's original huge Ram Vader helmet.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it was all the guys in the dressing room were marking out for it, trying it on.
There's a kid that used to live in my neighborhood that had an awesome helmet, too.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, I have two sellies to hand out to you. Drum roll, please. That's right, Joe. I'm pleased to announce. Now, this was a tie for the first one I'm handing out right now.
A tie.
Indie card. It was a tie.
Well,
Indie
since
card.
I'm on the air,
year.
I get the extra point.
That's true. Indie card of the year was ECWA raising the bar with 29% of the vote.
Awesome. So, one of my favorites. One of your favorites, Dean.
Oh, it certainly was. That was my favorite.
My favorite.
I voted for that, and let's see, we have another one, and it's Indie Promotion of the Year with a whopping 58% of the vote, ECWA.
Wow. I'm going to put the boss on for a second. Woo!
Are you serious?
Yeah, that was the boss.
No, you're not serious.
No,
you never know if
it's good,
but...
Yeah, that's great.
I appreciate that. My main motivation for doing this is to put something together that's good that people like. So, you know, that means more to me than any amount of money or anything else. Is that, you know, that's why I'm doing this for is to put on a show that I can be proud of and put on shows that people enjoy. So. I definitely appreciate that. Thank you. I'll be expecting my awards, too, with Popdon, by the way.
But...
Crap.
Well, you'll have to break the one in half. Who got the...
Who tied with you?
Yeah.
It was actually one of your favorite promotions, CZW, Cage of Death.
I love CZW. There's a lot of good guys there. No, they're all right. I like CZW. I don't care. I don't care for the ultra violence, but... we had an ultra-violent match. We had an ultra-hardcore match, and I got a nice video piece on it. I just didn't think it was appropriate to put out with, you know, going back to the guns, with some of the news going on at the time, but putting out.
Oh, yeah.
Ultra-hardcore, wait till you see it.
I've heard about this.
Yeah,
Jean-Jean LeBon and... Shockwave.
Yes, ultra-hardcore is one step above ultra-violence.
It has made headlines across the world. Now, Joe, of course, you have a big show coming up January 5th. Let's talk about that for a minute. We have, like, what's going on with that? I know we got a rematch, Chris Wilde, Josh Daniels. That match at the last show, Toys for Tots, it seemed kind of overshadowed by...
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was a shame. They had a really good match. John Finnegan had said to me he thought that was Chris Wilde's best championship match so far. I think they clicked together well. You know, the show's called New Year's Resolutions, too. And, you know, it's a new year, so we're going to start off with some new stories, I guess, character twists and things like that. So, this match is going to be submission only. You have to make your opponent submit or tap out. And, you know, Chris is going into about his fourth, that'll be his fourth month as champion. And just announced him as number three in the Super 8. And he's been with ECWA since 2010, July 2010. And in that time, he's only lost three singles matches to... Tommaso Ciampa, Papadon, and Kakoa. So I think he's definitely deserving of the Super 8. He's definitely, like you said last week on the show, I listened, he really is like the face of the company. He does a lot of, special appearance things with
Special Olympics and, you know, Toys for Tots with the Marines. You know, we had him out there. I mean, it didn't hurt Miss Delaware was out there too, but, you know, he really, you know, gave him the ball and he's running with it. And, you know, most of his time in ECWA, he's been a champion. Mid-Atlantic champion, TWA champion, ECWA Unified champion. And I think what's great about him, too, is that he can be in these wrestling matches, but he can brawl, too. You know, he had some great, I think, great brawls with Breaker, one of your favorites. I think they complement each other. They really do complement each other well, I think. I think that their Pins Count Anywhere was a great match.
Epic?
Yes. I think the match where, you know, Chris won the title, where it was the DQ, we know the title could change hands on DQ. I thought it was a very good match. And, you know, so I'm looking forward to Chris and Josh, because Josh is another one of those guys. I like to find these guys that I think that are very good and for one reason or another are not with one of these other top indie promotions or not full-time at one of these other top indie promotions. And guys that I think others maybe they kind of missed the boat on. And Josh is definitely one of them. I mean, I remember in TWA he had an awesome match with Adam Cole. He's been in the Super 8 himself. So Josh, you know, even though I don't like Joel Blackheart, I definitely Josh is a great technical wrestler, so I think that's going to be a good match.
Well, one thing that you neglected to say here is that Josh Daniels in TWA did defeat Chris Wilde by submission.
Yeah, he did. He did defeat him by submission. That's that was their first singles match, second singles match. You know, Chris had them locked up, and of course, Breaker came in again. And I look at Breaker and Wilde as kind of like Dusty Rhodes and Tully Blanchard.
How dare you compare him to Tully Blanchard?
Who? How long was he on the air?
How long was he on the air? I don't know, but I was excited when he was on the air.
Yeah, well.
I'll just say it, Joe. I love you, but damn, dude.
No. I'm talking in the everybody has their own opinion.
Yes, but I'm talking
in terms of a perennial feud where, you know, Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, it always seems to come back to, you know, these two guys or two teams, you know, their paths always seem to cross somehow.
No, I mean, when he comes out of the entranceway and he's in the ring, no problem. Other than that, no way.
So,
stop it, dude.
No, what?
You get my point, Dean, here.
Yes. We get the point. You also have...
Look, I just won two sellies, okay? I'm going to say whatever I want. You agree with me, okay?
Yes, sir, Captain, sir.
You also have the returning Natu taking on the Wrestler of the Year, Greek God Papadon.
Right. Now, when Papadon was champion, he went through all the competition. One of the guys he did not get the opportunity to meet was Atu, and it was one of the guys that people wanted to see wrestle Papadon. So now that's going to happen. I'm not going to lie. You know, there was issues with Atu and management, and you know, now he's come back. And, you know, if you watch the interview that Blackheart had after last month's show, basically he said, you know, he's going to do what he wants to do, say what he wants to say. You know, I'm proud of Papadon stepping up. You know, here's a guy who, you know, also been with TWA, ECWA rather, coming on 2 years, and, you know, whether the fans boo him or cheer him, I think they all, you know, appreciate him and respect him, and I think it's going to be a good twist on things with Papadon. You know, having a whole new list of opponents, you know, Atu and Apollyon and Rex Lawless and Breaker, Josh Dean. You know, there's a lot of guys. You know, there's a lot of guys that a lot of potential matches for for popping on. And I think it was, you know, I think the timing was right. You know, I think that crowd, you know, when I watched the video when at War Games when Poppin' On came out after Bandito's music, and, you know, how, and then I watched the video, but, you know, I just listened to it. I closed my eyes and listened to that
the
crowd. What's that?
The sound that the crowd made was unbelievable.
The audio, yeah. And when he came out, and when he came out this time, you know, it was only about 5-6 months later. So, you know, kind of going to the well with the same concept, you know, a few months later. And when, you know, when he attacked Blackheart, you heard that crowd. And to me, it just brings back memories to me of when Nikita Koloff went and, you know, made the save for Dusty Rhodes.
Much better comparison.
Yes.
Well,
so
I'm not comparing us to them, obviously, but I'm just saying in terms conceptually of, you know, what it meant.
Yeah, I agree with you, Joe.
For that to happen.
No, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and definitely I've listened to that video many, you know, many, many times. And, you know, just to hear the crowd. And I think they were just waiting for it. The crowd's ready for. And Poppin' On, we'll be able to sell a lot more T-shirts.
That's true. That is true. Now, we also have sadness is upon my heart. Sadness upon my heart to even bring up this. But Matt Saigon taking on Damian Dragon.
You know, again, it's New Year's resolutions. It's a new year. There's a lot of new things going on. If you look at this card, you know, you got Poppin' On facing, you know, Blackheart. You have Dragon and Saigon going against each other. You have Ricky Martinez embarking on his title reign, which I think Martinez is on the cusp of really, you know, a pivotal point in his time with ECWA. I think he has a lot to offer, and I think he's come a long way. Saigon and Dragon, you know, again, it was just one of those things that's been going on for a while. You know, getting to the Super 8, Damian Dragons and the Super 8 this year. This will be the third tournament he's been in for us. He was in both K-Cups. And, you know, there was a lot of people last year that wanted him in the Super 8. And I tell you, doing the Super 8 every year is difficult because when you look at the names that you would like and you look at the people that are actually showing a lot of interest, and then you're looking at, all right, who's available, who's not, who's under contract, who's, you know, it's still always, I'm always wanting, you know, I wish I could get this one guy in or this other guy in, you know, trying to squeeze in one more or two more. So, you know, it didn't happen last year for Damian Dragon. But again, like I said with Poppin' On, when he attacked Blackheart, I think the fans were ready for it. I think it was the right time. I think this is the right time, you know, for Damian Dragon as far as the Super 8 and, you know, Matt Saigon attacking him. Was really, you know, kind of in the middle of the madness of that. Well, I hate to use that word. In the middle of that fray at the end of the last show, where, you know, he attacked Damian. And I think that may be one of the most anticipated matches on the show. I mean, you know, that's saying something. I mean, you know, you got Wild and Daniels, which people saw last month, but you have submission only this time. Poppin' On and Atu, I think, is a big match for ECWA. It's never happened. But, you know, Saigon and Dragon, I was thinking about this earlier, the fans have really seen the full life cycle of these two guys as singles, and then as a team and becoming friends and like brothers and now enemies. You know, they've run the gamut with these two guys from beginning to the end now. And, I think that's going to be a wild match. I think that's going to, you know, I hate saying match of the night, you know. Of course, all these guys work hard and try to have match of the night, but I think that's definitely is going to be something that you don't see every month, because you're talking about, you know, teaming for 2 years and then the fracturing of this team and, you know, the emotion that all that brings and the Super 8 and the betrayal. So I know you're not happy about it, Dean, but...
No. I'm not happy about it.
You know, Tao Saigon, what do you want me to tell you?
You know, I think I will.
Dan, go ahead. You had a question.
Well, I have to keep chairs away from him.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that would be good. Don't let him have chairs.
The Vietnam Phenom. I think Damian Dragon tweeted that Saigon's fortune isn't worth the toilet paper it's written on. So.
Ooh. That's not very nice. I have a question. I'm not sure how to approach this one. How do I ask this? Has there been anybody that you've... I'll ask it like this. Is there anybody that you've wanted to win Super 8 and they didn't?
Well, I've been doing it 2 years. Again, this goes back to even guys being in it. There's always more guys that are deserving of being in it than are actually in it,
yeah,
only because there's eight spots. And I think there's always guys that deserve to win it that aren't going to win it. Again, there can only be one winner. You know, it's like, you know, American Idol. They start out with this huge number of people, and they whittle it down. And, you know, sometimes the winner always doesn't have the biggest career either. That's got nothing to do with it. You know, if you go back to the first year, I would have been just as happy and ecstatic to have Adam Cole win it in 2011 as Tommaso. I like both of them. I like both those guys a lot. I think they're both very good. I think they both appreciate and respect the Super 8. You know, I sent Adam Cole a little note last week when he was on your show thanking him for, putting the Super 8 over, you know, as he did. You know, that's a big thing for me, too. You know, going back to 1997 and more in 2000, you know, there was no Ring of Honor. There was no Evolve and Dragon Gate. And CZW was just starting. And, you know, this goes back to my whole spiel on competition. You know, the more competition, the more you split the pie up. And, you know, back in those days, the Super 8 was it. Things have changed a bit. I still treat it the same. I still treat it with the same, respect or reverence or tradition of it, and trying to get the best possible guys that I can. But, you know, I'm not oblivious to the fact that there's a lot more opportunities out there for guys to showcase what they have as there was in 2000 when there was a lot less. But if you ever hear, I know Chris Daniels has said it, I know Loki has said it, you know, the Super 8 really set the tone for Ring of Honor. And, you know, 2002, basically, Ring of Honor promotion was built around Super 8 style matches. And, you know, that Code of Honor was their main storyline thing with Chris Daniels. But, you know, if you look at the first Ring of Honor show, about 75% of the guys on it were from ECWA Super 8. So, you know, yeah, there's other guys, you know, were the guys in it last year. You know, and a guy I think it's very underrated and I like a lot, Azriel.
Yeah.
You know, any of those guys, you know, that were in it. And I think that's what makes it so good is that, you know, you have some guys that you know and some guys that you don't know. The Super 8 was, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, you won't have any names in the Super 8 this year. And, you know, they didn't do their due diligence. Because
Super 8. I love it.
The Super 8 back in the day, nobody knew who Chris Daniels was. Nobody knew who Loki was. Nobody knew who Brian Danielson was.
Yeah, I knew who Chris Daniels was.
You knew who he was in 2000?
I knew who he was. Yes, I did know who he was in 2000 because I watched WCW.
Well, yeah, he had been on WCW at that point, right?
Yeah, see?
No, you're right. You're right about, what about 99? He was in 99.
No, I think I heard about him early 2000. And everybody is me, Joe.
What's that?
Everybody is me.
Everybody is you?
Yeah, everybody knew. No, but never mind.
What kind of grammar is that?
Joe,
my point is a lot of the guys at the time that have made their name that were in the Super 8 were not as known when they were first in it. So,
I think this is a good point, though, Joe, for some breaking news.
Sure, well.
All right, Joe, you've been teasing it. Who is the fourth entrant into this year's, 2013's Super 8?
Right. All right, well, the fourth entrant, the first three were Damian Dragon, No Fear, Mike Mondo, and Chris Wilde. Chris. Number four is also from Ring of Honor. He's following in the footsteps of some other very good Canadian competitors that were in the Super 8, such as Tyson Ducks. And you don't like Tyson Ducks? And Bobby Roode and Petey Williams. So the fourth entrant is Unbreakable Michael Elgin.
Oh, wow. That's
Michael,
huge.
Michael Elgin actually started wrestling when he was 16. In 2004, still very young, about eight years in, started out in Canada, actually was trained by Tyson Ducks, Tyson Ducks was supposed to be in, I think, 2004 Super 8, but he was hurt, and then he wound up competing in 2005, and so Michael Elgin has done a lot of the Canadian circuit, he's been in and out of Ring of Honor. I think he's definitely the most powerful man in the tournament so far. And I encourage everybody to go. If you're not familiar with him, I'll be putting stuff up on Facebook.
He was in CZW years ago, was he not?
He did a few CZW shows.
Okay.
Most recently, he's had great matches with Adam Cole, Davey Richards, Kevin Steen. He's just, to me, he kind of reminds me, not that he looks like him or wrestles like him, but for some reason, reminds me of a Steve Williams or a Rhino type in build.
Yeah.
But the things that he can do, to me, I think he's definitely going to, make it. Someday, to whatever extent that he is looking to. I think he's got something about him. I talked to him in 2010 about the Super 8. We didn't have him in that year. Last year wanted to have him in, but he was obligated to Ring of Honor. So this is the third year we talked. And, a lot of the guys that want to be in the Super 8, I tell them it always doesn't happen right away for whatever reason. But no, I'm looking forward to him being in. He really wants to be in the Super 8. And same thing with all the other guys. Dragon, Wild, Mike Mondo. So when it means something to these guys, you know that the matches, you're going to see it in the matches. So, I think he's definitely going to add something to this tournament. The first three guys are all kind of similar size, and I'm not sure how tall Michael is. He might be 5'10 or so.
5'11.
Is he? Okay.
245.
Yeah, but he's very like thick, like barrel chested guy. But he just
right.
If you look up his matches with Davey Richards, that some of the things that he's doing in the ring for a guy. Like, he kind of reminds me of the Flatliners in a way, too, where ECWA fans are familiar with them. That might be a comparison that works for them. Kind of reminds me of the singles competitor version of the Flatliners. So, that's the first four. I'm hoping to get out the other four very soon if the boss gets moving, you know. But you know how that goes. So, I'm happy to have these guys in. You know, Mike Mondo, who, he was a former WWE Tag Team Champion. You know, he's been in the main events of pay-per-view with Triple H and Shawn Michaels, you know.
Yeah.
And, the Super 8 means something to him, and something he's been trying to be a part of. So I think this year is definitely, every year I want to be better than the last, but I think it's definitely going to be, a great show in its own way. And, again, it's really hard coming up with these eight guys where, to me, the Super 8 would be one guy from ECWA and seven from the outside. But it seems like the fans want more of the favorite guys that they know. So it's always a hard balancing act, you know. But I thought Damian Dragon was a great choice. And I think Chris, too. I think Chris definitely, there's not many guys out there that put the effort into what they do as much as Chris does, as much as Papadon. I seen them on Facebook yesterday, Christmas Day, going to the gym. You know, I think that's the difference with some of our guys and the guys in our locker room that we have, that this is not just something they're doing, you know, on the weekends. This is their life, you know, and they're giving it everything that they have. And I think it shows, you know, I think it shows in the matches.
Definitely. So that's a big announcement.
That's great.
Was that
15
minutes?
It was more so. It was more so. One last match, New Year's resolutions. Is Ulala taking on Magnum? Magnum's a manager, of course. He's been around ECWA forever. But whoever loses, they're gone for a year.
That's right. You know, again, New Year resolution, new things going on. I'm not going to lie and whatever. Ulala is definitely one of my favorites in the ring, out of the ring, personally. He's definitely a role model. Guys come in, I mean, like, say for, you know, somebody like Kakoa, and, they've heard about Ulala and love him for what he does in the ring, but, you know, just as much what he does outside. I mean, the guy will be sweeping up after a show, you know. And, I mean, that tells you what kind of guy Ulala is. And he's selfless. And, he's one of the few guys from when we first came that stayed around. And so is Magnum, too. I'm grateful to both of them for that. If it is Ulala's last show, you know, I'm happy. He had a great title run. We came up with that he was already in the Hall of Fame. I would have loved to put him in the Hall of Fame. So I went one step further and created the Lifetime Achievement Award. That was, you know, really from my heart. And, nothing to do with wrestling and story. That's what I think of Ulala. So, one of them's going to be leaving, and I'll be sad to see whichever one goes, but I definitely thank them for everything they contributed, and even more so for sticking it out with us when we first came 2 years ago. So ECWAProWrestling.com. I'm on Twitter now, Dean. ECWA, what is it, Wrestling 67. So
wow, that's great. We know. I know what your Twitter handle is. I'm just saying.
It took me a while, but, you know, I do a lot of the stuff myself while the boss is killing an innocent fish at Lake Candle, so.
Well, you know, at least he doesn't eat meat.
Right.
Right.
Well, Mike says it's catch and release, and my point is, you're the 50th person to put a hook in this fish's mouth. Let me put 50 holes in your mouth with a hook.
Yeah.
And see, let me know how you're feeling.
Yeah, after the 51st time, don't wish for death.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's sports.
So much.
That brings us back to the guns now. We get to talk about hunting.
Oh, yeah. Let's not.
But the last show we had, I really enjoyed the show. I got a special kind of vibe there. It wasn't just Miss Delaware. But, you know, the Marines were there, the Toys for Tots. We did pretty good there, you know, for the amount of people we had, a lot of the guys and the staff. So I've done Toys for Tots ever since my older daughter was born, 10 years. But we haven't always done it at every wrestling show. This was the second one we did. But I always loved doing that. And it did seem like, you know, everybody was having a good time last show. My cousin Tara sang. Miss Delaware was there. Quote unquote Miss Delaware was there. Sexy Don. That was a Christmas miracle, and it's a Festivus miracle.
I try to stay away from that guy.
Sexy Don. I mean, what do you say about a guy who goes to the extent of shaving his legs?
I don't know what that is. What was that?
Well, good night, Dad.
There's another guy that's very loyal, you know, ECW, him and Judy Greenberg and Renee, they help us out a lot, too, you know. And, look, the guy got dressed up as Miss Delaware. What's that tell you?
Well,
that's,
you know,
dedication. Now, Joe,
it's really disgusting.
I have a caller, and I'm not sure where
God.
It's from. So I'm going to put him on. No.
This ain't Tully Blanchard, is it?
Caller, state your name and where you're
you
calling from.
You wished.
Hey, this is Mike Bessler calling from Dayton, Ohio.
Hey!
Mike Bessler
from PWI. How are you?
Not bad. I haven't talked to Joe for a while. I've been listening to the interview about some of the stuff. Hey, Joe.
You didn't fall asleep yet? You listening all this time?
No.
I'm not the greatest public speaker.
I could listen to Joe talk for a long, long time because Joe is...
You can?
Joe's very good at what he does.
You got to tell my wife that.
But, you know, one of the things that prompted me to call in was that I just heard, I guess, did I hear that Ooh La La is leaving the promotion? Is he retiring here in the near future?
Well, no, it's a loser leave for 1 year. Mr. Ooh La La versus Magnum, who's the manager. And I was just talking about both guys and what they meant to ECWA. And, you know, if either one of them, whichever one leaves, yeah, I thanked them for everything that they did, and I didn't say well,
I
was
okay. That's why I was kind of alarmed because I think, you know, I live, you know, well outside of the area that I think is most familiar with ECWA, but I'm a little more plugged into it through some of the PWI stuff and then talking to Joe and things like that. And it's such a neat promotion with such a great history, but a lot of that has to do with the fact that you have people like Papadon and Ooh La La that are so good at the respective things that they do. And, you know, I was thinking when you were talking about Ooh La La, Joe, that, I mean, here's a guy that was ranked in the PW 500 again last year where, you know, I think, you know, he's kind of still going at it. And the unfortunate thing is that a lot of people outside of the region might not know, you know, that you've got somebody you know, it's almost like a golden age of WWE talent in how he does exactly what he does. So that's why when I heard you talking about that, I was like, wow, you know, and even still to have it kind of all on the line with a loser leaves town match, that's still kind of a big deal.
Yeah, you know, Ooh La La. You know, I started going to ECWA in July of 1999, and one of the first guys I met was Ooh La La. And, you know, he's just, all this time, they never get tired. the fans, and our fan base has changed too in 2 years. I don't know what it is. I don't know if Dean can explain it. First of all, he's just one of the nicest guys, and I don't know if that comes through. You know, sometimes that comes through with people, you know, not taking away from what he does and how he does it. A lot of it is like slapstick, but he's just so likable.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things. All these years he was a bad guy, and when he turned good, it's kind of like, I don't know, you know, but the people already love him. You know,
and
it's kind of the same thing with Papa Don, which just happened. You know, when Steve Austin turned bad, the people rejected it.
Yeah, Papadon is a little bit like CM Punk. He's so good at what he does, you can't help but like him, even if he slaps a baby. You know,
right.
You know, he might still get a reaction out of that.
Look how he talks to these two guys, and they still love him.
I do have a question for you, too, Joe. I'm not taking up too much time, am I?
Hold on. Love is a strong word, Joe.
I'll tell you what, I love all the guys on the roster, and I do, Papadon, and I appreciate everything those guys have done for us. I think they all bring something different to the table, and, you know, I'm really, when I go around, I've told Mike this before, when I fight with Mike for things that I think we should do, and talent, I genuinely cannot be excited about something. If I'm not, I can't fake it. I really have to, you know, if we're going to put on what I feel is a subpar show, I can't get excited about it, you know. And, you know, all these guys, I think the roster we have right now is, I think it's one of the best. So,
Mike, go ahead, ask your question, and then I have one more for Joe.
Well, yeah, I wanted to ask about, because one of the things about ECWA is that Joe, you guys put out a pretty good product for an indie promotion as far as DVDs go. And I've been fortunate enough to see some of your recent ones, and Raising the Bar was the first one, I think, that I saw, because it had that spectacular Adam Cole versus Papadon main event. But just on Ooh La La, I don't mean to pull the curtain back too much, but there was a moment, I was watching this with my kids, and I said, you got to see this Ooh La La guy. And there's a moment where he comes out and he's getting into the ring, and he absolutely eats it getting into the ring. He falls.
Yeah.
It just is the most ridiculous thing ever. And I'm wondering, I mean, is that planned, or is that something that just happens from time? Is that like a Spinal Tap moment? What was that exactly?
I don't know. Those steps are pretty old. I think they're as old as the promotion, which is older than me. Right? What year are we in now? I'm losing it here.
We're 2012, Joe.
47? I don't know. Yeah. Something like that.
We're 2012, Joe.
Nobody knows what's going through Ola's mind.
You know, I know it's like, it's almost as obscure as some Trekkie asking, like, Shatner a question, like, at a convention or something like that. But it was a moment for me that we're like, did that just happen? We went back and watched it a few more times. And to tell you the truth, for what that match was, because that was one of the matches with Tartaglia, it added a lot to the match. I mean, for everything that was going on there,
I'll tell
you know,
what,
whatever it was, it worked.
Mike's atrocious wrestling could not overshadow that match.
Yeah.
I told Mike at one point, I said, you got to get out of the ring and manage, because you could still go out there and be the personality. But God, one of the bulldogs he hit, it was just...
I think it's funny that you compare Joe to William Shatner.
Why William Shatner?
You know, he could do worse. I didn't compare him to Dr. McCoy. So
no, that's good. Mike, you saw that Raising the Bar DVD. Did you see Papadon assault that guy at ringside? Wasn't that terrible?
Who was that guy?
That was me.
Well, you know, I. I'm married.
You know, the funny thing with you're saying about the DVDs, Mike, is we recently are using someone for the DVDs. His name's Paul. He's a great guy. Him and his crew come. We have two cameras now. We have instant replay.
Hey, Joe, who are the announcers?
I tell you what, one of the many things I am waiting for an answer from. I haven't seen the footage
yet. You know where I'm going with that, don't you?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm not lying. I mean, you know, I got a million things I'm waiting to hear from Mike about. You know, this was my Michael Elgin was my Christmas present. He said, "Here's a Christmas present. I got another guy for the Super 8 for you." So
thank
I'm lucky
you,
I got that out of him.
I do have one question, Joe.
And by the way, Michael Elgin was number 54 in the PWI, or maybe he was 55. I don't know.
You don't even know, Joe.
Well, there
ask
was
your question, Dan. You have a break. Ask it.
I'm not sure if my mic works because he's not listening, and I'm sure that
54. By the way, whoever had that question,
that is it 54? Okay.
Yeah.
I quit. Joe, I have a favor to ask. Can you bring back the Kodiak Bear?
No. Well, we'll have to go looking for him. I mean, I referee the Kodiak Bear. Is he still working?
I know somebody that might be able to get in touch with him.
I don't know. I guess why not? Maybe he'll be number 5 in the Super 8.
Sweet, I'll tell him. That's awesome.
Hey guys, right. I appreciate you taking
Kodiak
my call.
Bear.
I appreciate
well.
You taking my call, guys. I'm gonna let you go.
Thanks,
no, thank you for calling.
Appreciate
in,
everything
buddy.
You do.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, guys, and thanks, Joe, for everything you do. It's great to hear somebody that loves what they do talk about it and talk about it so well.
I'll talk anytime you want, as long as my kids are
no,
all right. All right, see you guys.
All right, so that
go
was
ahead, Ian. Can't control, brother.
Well, that was right. Mike.
Wait, is there something Dan wanted to ask me? I don't want to think I was cutting him off.
No, he doesn't want to hear my Kodiak Bear question. Go ahead, Dean.
What
you
asked
it?
It. I mean.
Well, no, he was going to elaborate on Kodiak Bear, and I figured you guys didn't care, so.
Who, me? I mean, I refereed him a few times in Eastern Championship Wrestling. I remember Kettner had him in, I'm trying to think who he worked. I can't remember if it was Cheetah.
Sure, it was earth-shattering.
I think he had him with Boogie Woogie Brown, because they're both big guys.
Right. Yeah, probably.
And Boogie Woogie was a good guy.
I do actually know somebody that still talks to him. And if you're ever really serious, let me know.
Oh, how'd you become a fan of him?
of the Kodiak Bear, I'll talk to you offline, sir.
Yes, please.
I don't know. Do I want to hear the story? If it's got to be online.
He used to be co-host of a rock and wrestling radio show that was aired on MMR locally.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See, nobody heard the show. That's why they're not on anymore.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll explain later. I'll text you.
But, Joe, I
so what else?
For...
I know I took up more time than...
Oh, it's fine. It's
Tully Blanchard.
No, almost. You're encroaching on Tully Blanchard.
I'm just upset that you didn't get any gas while we were on the phone.
I didn't hear the interview yet. I'll have to listen to it.
You son of a bitch.
Now, Joe, I want to thank you
kids,
for coming
man,
on. That was big news. I certainly appreciate you using this forum to announce it. So, anything else you want to add?
You know, come to ECWA. I'm begging people. ECWAProWrestling.com. I think it's going to be a great show in January. Like I said, there's a lot of different things going on. You know, I mean, the last show was a lot of changes. So, you know, whether it's your first time or you've been coming, you know, for the people that have been coming, yeah, there's going to be some different matchups, new, you know, shaking things up a little bit. And, of course, there's only one or two shows after January before the Super 8. So we definitely have March 2nd, and there's a possibility the YMCA March 16th.
Man!
Just have to confirm that.
No.
And then the Super 8 will be the 13th
Can't
of
do
April.
March 16th.
Huh?
You can't
never
do
mind,
March 16th.
Sure you can.
It's my sister's birth. You can't do March 16th. It's my sister's birthday.
Oh. What's in the wine? We'll bring it for her birthday.
Oh, yeah, great.
I'm going on my
what
birthday.
Do you mean, what do you mean
spring
great?
Battle. That's for sure. But Joe, thank you for hanging out. It's
ECWAProWrestling.com
and on Twitter, ECWAWrestling67. So
and
Joe,
Facebook too. We got a bunch of things on there too. People, you know, take the frustrations out on me.
That's for sure. One of our biggest supporters does it almost daily. So, but Joe,
but I'll tell you what, that means that they are into it, and I like that. You know,
Joe, we'll talk soon.
All right, guys, thanks.
Right, we're back. We're going to, Dan, promotional consideration paid for
by the following.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room on WEXT 1600 AM in Philadelphia and TheBradyHicks.com. Like what you hear? Be sure to check out all the other great content available on TheBradyHicks.com. In the Room, Between the Ropes, JV Mail, Hell in a Cell Radio, Titus Machiavelli, The Papadon Show, What's Wrong with Wrestling, The Book Club, Saturday Night Akbaz, The Extreme Odd Couple with Steve Carino and Rob Dimension, The O Show, The Fish Tank with Bobby Fish, and Dimple Date, The Date Dating and Relationship Show at TheBradyHicks.com. Great video content. This Week in Wrestling. Stepping Out with Sassy Stephanie. WSU and ECWA TV. Completely Damaged. Wrestling Reflections with Darren Corbin. And so much more. Check it out today.
To get in the cell, call in at 718-664-9133. Again, that is 718-664-9133.
All right, so we're back. How you doing, guys?
I'm fine.
How about you, Chris?
I don't know. I feel like I keep getting these backhanded slaps.
Do your due diligence.
Do your due diligence,
Cameo. I haven't even talked to the guy. It's like, what the...
Well, it happens.
At least I have a meme, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, let me say, I just...
You should,
and I'm just saying it's nice to not be the butt of a joke.
I'm going to bring on Ryan Big Burgundy.
Oh, I'm out of here.
As he's going to help us out. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. It sounds like I've missed a whole bunch of commotion.
Commotion's a word for it.
You know. Now, I'm bringing you on so we can go over the sellies. We already announced a few. We announced Independent Wrestler of the Year. That was Papa Don Winnie with 47% of the Voight.
He had 44% of John Voight.
We also announced the Indie Card of the Year, which was one. It was a tie. ECWA, Raising the Bar, and CZW, Cage of Death. They both garnered 29% of the vote. And Evolve 18 came in third with 14% of the vote.
Oh, wow. I'm simultaneously shocked and not really, like, I'm glad that ECWA got that, but of course they did.
And that Evolve card, though, was pretty freaking awesome.
Oh, it was a great card.
Top to bottom.
The Indie Promotion of the Year by a landslide was ECWA with 58% of the vote. CZW came in second with 29%, and Chikara, which was a bit of a surprise to me, with 14% of the vote. So starting off at the top is the Mainstream Wrestler of the Year. Now, the candidates were CM Punk, Austin Aries from TNA, Jeff Hardy from TNA, and John Cena. Now, what was your pick, Dan?
I picked Austin Aries.
Really?
And this is the reason why I picked Austin Aries. Let me preface this. So people who have a hard time hearing things or only hear what they want to hear, hear this sentence first. The only reason why I did not pick CM Punk is I thought of, and this is not a bad thing, more of the same this year.
I didn't think so. He turned heel this year.
Well, he's been heel before.
Not to this degree and not with Heyman involved.
Well,
but
let me finish. I was enjoying TNA TV a little better this year and got behind Austin Aries more. That's why I picked him. He has great matches. I think he's on the level of CM Punk as far as hating or liking him. And that's it. That's why I picked Austin Aries. Certainly wasn't going to pick Jeff Hardy.
All right, Chris.
Look at
you?
Me. I can close my eyes. It looks like they're still open.
Yeah, I went with CM Punk, but I completely can see Dan's point about Austin Aries. Aries is a great talent and has all the skills to make it to whatever level he wants.
No disrespect to CM Punk.
But at the same time, CM Punk has been champion for 400 days. He's been consistently a great wrestler, a great talker. I can get behind the argument that he's kind of taking more of the same this year. When you look at what he had in 2011 with his just breaking out and being red hot, he kind of cooled off this year, but he's been that consistent, and I didn't see anybody else other than maybe Aries that really stood out to me that should be the wrestler of the year.
Now, of course, the match that I thought that I first became an Austin Aries fan was Adam Cole, Austin Aries, 2011 Super 8.
Yeah.
That was really my introduction to Austin. I saw his Ring of Honor stuff, but that's when I was like, this guy is just amazing. I voted for CM Punk. Ryan, how about yourself?
You know, I was kind of torn on that one between Punk and Aries, and I decided to go with Austin Aries myself.
Look at that.
Had similar reasons to Dan with that one. I just felt like on a consistent basis, watching his matches, listening to his mic work, I just kind of had a little bit of an edge with him. Plus, I think it's something that, for me, I wanted to kind of jump behind something a little bit different. And Aries is kind of that guy who, I mean, I don't know, you know, I forget the exact story, but basically he pretty much was ready to hang up the tights, you know, hang up the boots, and, you know, as he was in TNA, and then they let him go, and he was going around the independents, and he really wasn't getting that big break he was hoping for, and then he decided he was going to hang it up, and then he got the call last minute for the Super 8, and then that kind of relaunched him back into mainstream thinking. So I think I was looking for something to jump behind.
Yeah, definitely. So there you go. And the winner... CM Punk with 75% of the vote. Austin Aries did come in second with 19%. And Jeff Hardy, 6% of the vote.
Ugh.
I think my favorite thing...
The actually ended with 6%, huh?
Yeah, but I think my favorite thing was John Cena did not get one vote.
Thank God.
Not one.
Why Jeff Hardy?
Well, he won the title. He, you know.
He's
turned his life around.
23 Skidoo.
Now, next up was, of course, the Indie Wrestler of the Year. Papadon won that. Now, the choices were the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont, Greek God Papadon, El Generico, Adam Cole, and Tank Tolan from New Moon Rising Wrestling. So, we already know that Papadon won. Papadon won with 47% of the vote, Adam Cole, 20%, and Matt Tremont came in third with 13% of the vote. That was a little surprise to me that he got that much. Now!
Really?
Yeah, I really did. Because El Generico only got one vote, I believe. So
and that was mine.
But El Generico, people love the guy, but apparently not the listeners of this show.
I will tell you, I've never seen him wrestle, but you told me his shtick, and I'd really like to see that guy.
Definitely, definitely. Now, moving on, the best mainstream wrestling card, the choices were, there weren't many, but it was WWE Royal Rumble, WWE Night of Champions, and of course, WWE WrestleMania. My choice was easy, WrestleMania. Dan, how about yours?
Same, WrestleMania.
And
his name is Chris.
3 for 3, I pick WrestleMania.
And
Ryan, don't F this up.
Sorry, I'm about to F it up. I actually went with the Royal Rumble. I just love the Royal Rumble.
Now, here's the thing. I actually attended Fox and Hound with you at the Royal Rumble, and I can remember how disappointed we were.
The Royal Rumble match, though, we were into the Royal Rumble match. That made up for it. I think also all those beers probably helped make up for it, too. But the Royal Rumble match helped make up for it. The overall, the rest of the card was pretty bad, but that made up for it.
Well, let's find out who the winner is. WrestleMania, with the majority of the vote, 53%, is...
And it's just that Night of Champions is like, eh.
No, Night of Champions, I went to Fox and Hound during the BradyHicks.com fan conclave, and wow.
21.
It was fun. It was fun.
Somebody's phone's on vibrate, by the way.
Now, the next one is Best Indie Card. And we already announced who won that.
Hey!
Of course, that was a tie between ECWA, Raising the Bar, and CZW, Cage of Death. Dan, what did you pick?
I picked Raising the Bar because, I've seen footage of Cage of Death, and I was at Raising the Bar, and I guess I picked it because I was there. But B, that's the card that... You got to go to ECWA show, Dan. You got to come with me. And that's the show that got me back into wrestling as much as I have been.
So maybe a sentimental choice for you.
Yeah, a little bit. That I didn't see Evolve 18, didn't see Ring of Honor. I don't think, unfortunately, this is the first year I don't think I've seen one Ring of Honor show.
Wow.
And PWG I never saw.
You've never seen pro wrestling?
Yet? I know of them, I've seen the cards, I've seen footage, but I've not seen a full show.
Now, Chris, I don't think you've voted in this one, did you?
I did not.
How about you, Ryan? Ryan, this is interesting because I believe you saw all the choices.
I did, and it was a very tough choice, but I the Evolve show was just, oh my God, it was amazing.
I voted for the Evolve show as well. The Evolve show from top to bottom was really an amazing card, and we'll get to that with our next, actually not our next, in a minute. We'll get to it with one of the matches that was in that. Now,
I'm confused.
The comeback of the year. The choices were Drew Blood on the independent scene, Brock Lesnar coming back to WWE from UFC, Vader, who made a comeback into PWS, and Perry Saturn, who came back PWS initially and then went into the Extreme Rising fold. Now, I voted for Drew Blood. How about you, Dan?
I voted for Perry Saturn.
Wow.
I thought he was dead.
I thought
he was dead.
I'm not dead yet.
I'm not quite dead. So I was like... The fact that he's back, and I've seen a couple of shots of him coming back, I thought that was amazing. Now, I knew of that. Drew Blood, if I could pick two, I would have picked Drew Blood because I don't care about Brock Lesnar. And his story is, well, we talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
The fact that he's wrestling again after hearing the sound his head makes. Is pretty spectacular in my eye. But the fact that I thought Perry Saturn was dead of a drug overdose, I picked him.
How about you, Chris? Come back in a year.
With all due respect.
with all due respect to all four of these people, I thought the comeback of the year probably should have gone to Jerry Lawler.
You only had a heart attack, Chris.
Oh, I only had a heart attack.
Can I ask? Go ahead, Chris. You finish. I have a serious question.
Well, that being said, I picked Brock Lesnar just because that's just who I'm familiar with, and not for any good reason.
I'm glad you're honest and you voted.
Yeah.
All right, Dan. You had a thought?
Vader was gone.
Yeah, Vader was completely off the scene. Stopped wrestling in Japan. Came back for PWS.
I didn't know he stopped at all.
Yeah, so comeback of the year.
All right, cool.
I thought it was a...
That, well, the answer of why I didn't vote for Vader is because I didn't know he left.
Oh, well, how about you, Ryan?
For me, I had to go with the guy that I had a chance to talk to and interact with and get to know a little bit, and some of the backstage stuff and all the behind-the-scenes stuff, and I'd say Drew. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind who I was voting for, and it was Drew Blood. Just like you were saying, Dan, great story. Yeah, just an amazing, you know, story, amazing guy.
We need to isolate just the sound from that video of his head making contact with the floor.
I like Salamander's call on that. Like, oh my God.
I think he's dead.
But, yeah. I voted for Drew Blood, and let's find out who won. Oh.
What?
The comeback of the year goes to Brock Lesnar. 44% of the vote.
Good luck, Chris.
Drew Blood.
Sorry.
Drew Blood, 38%. And Vader got 13%. So there you go.
A close vote, at least.
Yeah, it was. I was a little shocked. I thought that Brock would definitely win by a landslide there.
I mean, but it wasn't like his story was incredible. He went away, he came back.
And then he went away again.
And then he went away again. It's like, you know, Mark Thompson.
I think I'm going to call Mark a little bit later on.
I'm here. I'm gone. I'm gone again. I'm here. I'm gone.
Okay, match of the year mainstream. Now, here's the choices. It was Triple H versus Undertaker in WrestleMania.
Right.
John Cena versus The Rock, WrestleMania. Bobby Roode versus Austin Aries at Destination X. AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle. That was at Sacrifice. And CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan at Over the Limit. Now, my choice was Triple H versus The Undertaker. Great match. Dan, how about you?
I went for I went for Rock and Cena.
No, that was a fine match, and
And purely on the fact that The Rock beat him.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Only Dan, you were there to see the look on Dean's face. Waves of victory. The look was absolutely
priceless. What the?
Thought it was a foregone conclusion that John Cena was winning that match. He was
Me
getting
too.
The torch, and the moment when
one Rock two, three
hits the rock bottom, I still to this day, that's I didn't vote for it, but.
No.
His hands went on his head, his face and jaw pretty much hit the ground. His eyes had this weary, blurry look to them, like he couldn't believe what he just saw. He was trying to clear his eyes out to make sure he saw what he saw.
I think I turned to you and I said, "Did that just fucking happen?" I had no idea, but
your world really was shattered.
It was.
I mean, that's the first pay-per-view that. Collectively, both my girlfriend and I watched from start to finish. For me, it was the last pay-per-view I watched start to finish was, I think, SummerSlam 2008. And hers was years ago. I mean, going back to the 90s. And we both looked at each other like, okay. I didn't know what to say. It was like, okay, who changed the end of that?
Well, it's like, what do you say? I mean, nobody. I really honestly feel like nobody saw that coming.
No, I think that's exactly. And I think that's exactly what. And I'm still to this day convinced that's the only reason why that happened is because everybody was like, the smart marks were going, yeah, well, the Rock's not going to win. It's got to be John Cena. Why would the Rock win? And they were like, yeah, hey, watch this. I'm convinced it's the only reason.
Chris, who did you vote for there?
I actually went with CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan over the limit.
Awesome.
I just think those two, whenever those guys are in the ring, just fantastic. Triple H and Undertaker was an awesome match as well, but I just thought it wasn't as good as the previous one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I guess there's a level of
I have a question.
Comparison that just didn't work with for me, but
my question is for well, all three. Do you think Sean Taker is to Triple H Taker 1? Or was the second match better? Do you think either of the... Which was your favorite match of the series is what I'm trying to ask.
Between Shawn and Taker?
Both of them. Shawn and Taker and Triple H and Taker.
Which was the better series?
No, which was the better match of the four?
Well, five, because Triple H...
Oh, yeah, five.
They don't like to admit...
Which was the best match of all five of them?
I have to go with the first time that Undertaker and Shawn. What was that, 25, I guess?
25, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That was probably the best one.
I go back to X7 and talk about the match that the pretend didn't happen back at WrestleMania. What was that, 17?
Yeah.
I thought that match was great.
Good match. The only thing that mars it really is the longest ref bump in the history of wrestling. Except for Ref Rich at DWF, but that's a different story altogether.
That's not the bump. He fell asleep.
He probably did.
I would have said Michaels and Taker the first one also. I mean,
no, guys, I'm really tired. I'm going to sleep right here in the middle of the day.
But there was one spot. Never mind. But Mike Chioda was, you know, out for 10 minutes. I timed it. It was 10 minutes. He was out. Literally. I wrote an article about the Undertaker Triple H. It's on Bleacher Report somewhere. I'll put it up later. But, where were we? Ryan, what did you pick?
I was really torn. I mean, every one of those matches, even as much as I hate to admit it, the Cena Rock match was a good match, mainly because of the ending. The match itself was a little sloppy at times, but it was a good match. Considering, you know, and I was torn with the other four because, I mean, Brian and Punk, I mean, I would watch those matches any day of the week. I would watch them, you know, for 100 days straight, every single match, you know, of those two. They're just awesome. Angle and Styles can both go. You know, Rude, you know, any of those guys. But I would have to say Michaels and Taker and Triple H. You know, I think the Michaels factor in that just made it so much better. Just his... The way he played it up and all was just...
He certainly did. He was very conflicted, but let's find out who won. It was Triple H versus The Undertaker. 53% of the vote. CM Punk Daniel Bryan got 20% of the vote. And Bobby Roode versus Austin Aries from Destination X got 13% of the vote. Now moving on to the indie match of the year. And that, of course, here were the choices. Adam Cole versus Papadon. That was at ECWA Raising the Bar from June. Papadon versus Tony Nese, which Dan put back up today from ECWA War Games. And my goodness, I forgot just how good that was.
Bring that up later. Can we cut it? You want to go through the things now, and then I'll talk to you about that. There's something I wanted to bring up about that match.
Okay. There's also El Generico and Samurai Del Sol versus Super Smash Brothers. That was from Evolve 18. DJ Hyde versus Matt Tremont. That was from CZW Cage of Death. And actually, you could consider the whole trilogy. They had three matches, Tangled Web, Redemption, and Cage of Death. AR Fox versus Alex Colon from CZW Tangled Web. And a personal favorite of mine, Fusion DS taking on the Southside Terminators from WXWC4. That was Sportsfest. Now, I voted for El Generico and Samurai Del Sol taking on the Super Smash Brothers. It was a tag team match that really, good gracious, redefined tag team wrestling in a good way. If you haven't seen El Generico wrestle, do yourself a favor. Find some stuff from Ring of Honor or PWG or whatever, CZW even, because he is really a talent. And Samurai Del Sol, Super Smash Brothers, you wouldn't even expect, Ryan, you can agree with me on this, you wouldn't expect the bigger of the two, Player Uno, I believe it is.
No, I think that's Dose, just the bigger.
Okay, Player Dose. Good gracious. The things he can do in the ring.
I honestly have to say, for me personally, I'm sorry to cut you off with that, but I was just going to say,
that match is probably the greatest tag team match I've ever seen of any mainstream
wow.
or indie. It was easily.
So obviously that was my choice. Dan, what was yours?
I went with the Nice Papadon.
A very good choice as well. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You first. Sir.
No, I was just going to move on to Omega, but if you had something to elaborate
no,
on.
No, I just... And again, and I talk about the Adam Cole. That was a tough one. I actually, like it meant something outside of the show, but I looked at this question for a second and just looked at the top two and went, which one do I pick? Because, again, that Cole Papadon match got me back into wrestling as much as I have, but that Papadon Tony Nese match was something else. And that was at the height of Papadon's streak.
Yes.
And I was pretty convinced that man was going to lose for years. And it's in the video that I linked earlier. There is a moment where it was in slow motion for me because I'm sitting right next to you, Dean, right next to you watching this happen. It was with Go Thompson.
Yes.
And we're all there. And you hear him in the video go, no way, no way. Because Nice nails the 450. And you swore to God, that was it. He was pinned. And it was in slow motion. And the pin, the first count, two count. And we had enough time to look at each other and go, no way. And look back in the ring to see him kick out.
Yeah.
And those two put on one of the most amazing singles matches I've ever seen, period. Period. And that's why I picked that match.
Omega, I don't think you voted in this one.
I did not, but I'm going to have to go see that match that Dan is talking about with such passion.
I only have a few minutes of it posted on YouTube, but I will burn you. I will buy you a copy of the DVD from the store.
Well, now I have to edit the damn episode. We don't want Joe to listen back and go, they'll start embedding, encrypting the darn thing. There goes our profitable bootlegging operation.
Okay, you won't be on there.
Ryan, what did you pick there?
I went with the tag match, the El Generico Samurai del Sol versus the Super Smash Brothers. That was the greatest tag match I've ever seen.
I have to agree. It was my selection. Let's find out who won.
Whoa.
What?
Does footage of this exist?
Probably on a DVD that will be coming out.
That I will buy for the store as well?
our successful bootlegging operation, yes. We'll be like rerunning what's happening, you know? The Tubi brothers are so disappointed. They just met the guy, but rerun. You let us down. Anyway...
I'm solo.
All right, the winner for the indie match of the year was Samurai del Sol and El Generico versus the Super Smash Brothers. That, of course, was Evolve 18, 36% of the vote. Why can't I say vote tonight?
Hey, did you see a movie with John Voight recently?
I did get Deliverance for Christmas. That's an entirely creepy story. But
I'm sorry about that.
Coming in second was DJ Hyde taking on Matt Tremont, Cage of Death, 29% of the vote, and Papadon versus Tony Nese, 21% of the vote.
Ultra violence.
You know what? The thing about Cage of Death.
There's a market for it.
Not only that, but the match itself was just a spectacle of
well, not only that, you had two people, you had two characters where you believed really wanted to kill each other.
I go with that.
Whether you're on either side of it, whether it's just all stage or there's a little bit of hate for either one of those men for them, period, you bought it. End of story. I bought it from the store.
Definitely. I mean, that was a hell of a match. I mean, we were there with one of our biggest supporters, Ryan and I. We were there with Bill Olson, and he almost grimaced.
His expression turned from a frown to a cracked smile.
There was about a half a smile there, Dan. It was quite quietly peeking upward. And then I went right back down again, and you noticed we were looking.
You know what, guys? I think that match was amazing.
There was a moment I thought I saw true concern on Bill's face.
It always looks like
that. True concern on my face, I'll tell you that much. I thought Matt was dead.
I'm pretty sure he always was dead.
I mean, when he hit the Death Valley driver from the top of the cage, just...
By the way, Joe's already listening.
Oh, he
already texted me. No piracy rerun.
Now, the indie promotion of the year we already announced was ECWA. Let's take a look at the how it broke down. Now, ECWA coming in with 56% of the vote, a majority vote here. I voted for ECWA. Dan, how about yourself?
I voted for ECWA, sir.
Chris, did you partake?
Actually, I think I might have, and just I picked ECWA, even though I've never been to a show.
And Ryan, how about yourself?
ECWA.
All right, so ECWA, the clean sweep from us. That's the first unanimous vote here. CZW came in second with 31% of the vote, and Shakar, like I said, coming in with 13%.
You think it is the ultra-violent part that will keep CZW out of the mainstream?
Yeah, definitely.
Period. That's it. And it's just, with all the other things that you see on TV, you know, the fake people getting shot, stories about, you know, this guy getting arrested for raping a kid, you know, with all the CSI shows and everything that shows that kind of, you know, blood and death anyway, that why that won't get past a certain point, I never know.
It didn't work for ECW, and the time was right for ECW.
But was it?
I think
because
it was.
Now there's more of that stuff on TV than there was back then.
But I'm saying,
not much, but
I'm saying that in the realm of wrestling, the time was right.
Well, yeah.
It was on an upswing.
You know what? And I'll just say this real quick because we can move on. I sat through that whole ECW on TNN thing, and I just wanted to throw rocks at the building that TNN was sitting in. I hated that so much, what they did to them. Terrible.
Well, yeah, you weren't the only one. Paul Heyman, obviously, was not a happy camper.
You know what, though? That's one of the – and then I'll stop. That's one of the best shoot that I've ever seen on TV, him shooting at the network.
Take me off the air.
Good. I dare you to take me off the air.
Yes, definitely. Now, moving right along, we're going into the realm of MMA. This is Omega's. Did either of you guys vote in any of the MMA categories?
Hell no.
How about you, Ryan?
Not really, but I mean, I could throw some votes down real quick if you want. I mean, you know.
Well, no, I mean, voting's closed. I closed it at 8. But MMA card of the year.
I just
don't
vote for anything with Henderson in it.
He's actually not up for anything.
Son of a gun!
You haven't. I haven't converted you yet, Dan. Come on, Dan.
Come on. He's an icon. Dan Henderson.
Are you talking about in general? Why haven't I started watching?
Yeah.
Not really.
I'm lazy.
Hockey's not on.
Honestly, don't. You know what? Don't even go to me because you'll have to disconnect me from the call if you start with the hockey thing.
The same.
Honestly, no, you're right, number one. First of all, just because the NHL is on doesn't mean there's not hockey, number one. Number two, usually when I would be watching those shows, I'm catching up on other parts of my life, which is the DVR, and the UFC is not on my DVR. It's just laziness. That's all.
It's laziness.
I admit it.
That's fine.
All right, Omega.
I see how you are.
Now, there's the AHL, there's the ECHL. No, I'm kidding, Dean. Go ahead. Screw you.
You might at least make an effort for it, Dan. You know, granted, I get, you know, beer spilled on me by moronic people, but at least they make an effort.
Oh, my God, you're still talking about it. Anyway, MMA card of the year.
Right.
We have UFC 146, Chris. That was Junior Dos Anjos versus Frank Mir. UFC 143, Diaz versus Condit. That was in the beginning of the year. UFC on FX2, headlined by Thiago Alves, taking on Martin Kampmann. the Strikeforce card from March 2nd, which was Miesha Tate versus Ronda Rousey, and UFC on Fox 5, which was Ben Henderson, not to be mistaken with Dan Henderson, taking on Nate Diaz. Now, first of all, Chris, what did you vote for?
Well, you know what? It's funny. When I voted for this several days ago, I voted for UFC on Fox 5, which was Benson Henderson versus Nate Diaz. It was a very solid card, top to bottom. But the more I thought about it, I really think I should have went with UFC 146, which was the all-heavyweights card.
Really?
Yeah. I think that was a better card. We saw a couple of – it was a good card top to bottom with UFC on Fox 5, but it was kind of marred by those two fights which showed two legends, Shogun Hua and BJ Penn, just really on the downslope.
Yeah.
And I think after I thought about it, I preferred UFC 146 more.
I went with Thiago Alves versus Martin Kampman, UFC on FX2. And, Chris, let's find out.
Drums, please!
The winner of the MMA card of the year was Benson Henderson Diaz, UFC on Fox 5, 38% of the vote. Coming in second was Thiago Alves and Kampman. That was on UFC on FX2. And Dos Santos versus Mir, UFC 146 with 15% of the vote. There you go.
There you go. I think I'm okay with that. Like I said, I probably screwed that vote up. Honestly.
Now the MMA fight of the year. First of all, you disagree with the selections. Do tell.
Not this particular one. This one I'm okay with.
Oh.
It's. Well, we'll get to it.
Well, MMA fight of the year. We have Joe Lozon versus Varner. That was on UFC on Fox 4. Johnson versus McCall 1. That was UFC on FX2. And that was, of course, the one that ended in a draw. Except it wasn't a draw initially. It was ruled Johnson won.
It was ruled that Johnson won, yes. But then it ended up being a draw.
Ronda Rousey versus Miesha Tate for Strikeforce. Kampman versus Alves, UFC on FX2. And I believe that's the Korean Zombie.
That is Korean Zombie, Chang Sung Jun.
Taking on Dustin Poirier?
Dustin Poirier, yep.
And that was UFC on Fuel 3. Now, who'd you vote for?
I actually went with Johnson and McCall 1 because I'm a sucker for the lighter weights. And I thought that was a really great fight. And
like those lighter weights, do you?
Yes, I like the lighter weights. Nothing wrong with that. The Miesha Tate versus Ronda Rousey fight was probably a close second, but that was kind of over too quickly in my view for that to be fight of the year.
Well, when you think about this, is it the build up and everything, or the importance of the fight? Because this was the first time a major show was headlined by women.
Well, that's not necessarily.
So do you bring that into that's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Well, you know, no, I don't necessarily think that's the case. I mean, it's important from the perspective that this is where Ronda Rousey won her title. I think for this type of an award, I want the best fight, the best actual fight possible. And I think that what leaned more towards Johnson McCall. There's the Joe Lozon versus Jamie Varner fight was an awesome fight as well. Those guys love to scrap. And you know, if you could have thrown either of the Benson Henderson Frankie Edgar fights on this too, and I think you would have had a decent lineup.
True, very true there. Now I voted for Kampman versus Thiago Alves because I just remember Thiago looked like he was on his way to victory. We get to the third round. He makes a critical error where he went for a takedown. Submission, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you really love about MMA. it can end in a minute. And it did that night, and Campman, of course, was on a roll for a little while there in 2012. But, Chris,
yep.
It's not about what we think. It's about what the people think. Let's find out. All right. The winner was Miesha Tate taking on Ronda Rousey, 50% of the vote.
Miesha Tate.
Yeah, Miesha. Miesha.
Miesha. Yes. But
you say
I'm
Miesha,
sure,
I say Miesha.
I'm sure you say Miesha, she'll punch you in the face, so.
And probably break my orbital rim.
It probably wouldn't be that hard.
Martin Campman, Alves came in second with 30% of the vote, and Johnson McCall, 10% of the vote.
There's my vote.
Yes, it is. Now, the fighter of the year, Chris, we talked about this last week. We have, good gracious, we had Anderson Silva, Nate Diaz, Benson Henderson, Ronda Rousey, and John Jones. I think everyone on there, with the exception of Nate Diaz as a champion, who'd you vote for?
Well, you know, this group of people is kind of interesting. I'm not sure why John Jones is on there after the fiasco from UFC 151. He's just had a horrible year, at least from a PR perspective. So, you know, I don't think John Jones deserves it. Anderson Silva is Anderson Silva. He's going to be great every year. Don't think he was really challenged that much this year. I mean, he took on and decimated Chael Sonnen again. And then destroyed Stephen Bonner. But that's Anderson Silva doing what Anderson Silva does. You know, Nate Diaz looked good up until this last month where he lost to Benson Henderson. I think it comes down to you have two people here that I think you can make a case for Fighter of the Year. Benson Henderson is the only champion to fight three times this year. He had two great fights with Frankie Edgar, close fights with Frankie Edgar that, you know, he may not have won, one or both of them may not have won when the decision went down, but the record showed that he won, so he defended his title against Frankie Edgar, and then he soundly beat Nate Diaz for five rounds. You know, he has solidified his championship this year. I think you can make a great case for him being the Fighter of the Year. That being said, when you look at the overall impact the fighter has had on the sport in the last year, I don't think you can objectively look at Ronda Rousey and say that she is not completely deserving of Fighter of the Year honors. She beat the one number one and number two fighters in her division on the road to being a championship. She made the cover of ESPN. She is on every major network. She basically is single-handedly got women's mixed martial arts into the UFC.
Yeah,
she will. Not only will she be in the first women's fight in the UFC, she will headline a card. I cannot see how – I've seen a lot of Ronda Rousey hate for people saying that there's no way that she deserves to be Fighter of the Year. I think if you can look at that and say Ronda Rousey doesn't deserve to be Fighter of the Year, and you're not being objective. There's no way in my mind that you can say that Ronda Rousey doesn't deserve to be Fighter of the Year without being some kind of misogynist.
Wow.
Now, in my view. And, you know, that's not me crushing on Ronda Rousey. That's just straight up, look at what she's done this year. Overall, in the cage and out. And Ronda Rousey was my pick for Fighter of the Year.
Ronda Rousey was mine as well for the reasons you outlined as well. She has made women's MMA important. And Dana White went on record earlier in the year saying he's not interested in it. Look now.
Yeah, I know. Dana White seems like he's the smartest guy.
Say what you will. He's very successful at what he does.
I didn't say he's an idiot, but I'm like,
He's probably got a little bit of a crush there. And
But
I am interested in every bit of Ronda Rousey.
Then you should definitely watch her fights.
Yeah.
Oh, she's fine. She's so much younger than me. I just want to kill myself.
Yeah. All right, so let's find out. I'm sorry, Ryan?
I was going to say, I know I didn't actually vote, but if I was going to vote, I'd probably say Silva myself, just because of the fact that even though I only saw him once, the way he just beasted. Who was it we saw him with? That was
Bonner.
Devin
Bonner.
Yeah.
I mean, Bonner, from everything I've heard, is a darn good fighter in and of his own right. And, I mean, he just beat him like it was nothing. Like, he was just a fly. He was playing with him, and then just, bam, that was it. He was done.
That is true.
Ronda Rousey got my vote because she's gorgeous.
Yeah, from an absolute skill standpoint, Silva will win every time.
Oh, yeah. Silva is on his own level.
Not as good looking as Rousey.
But much like Rousey. So, let's find out. Right, the MMA Fighter of the Year, Ronda Rousey. 50% of the vote, which surprised me. I thought we were going to have trouble with this, Chris. Apparently not.
Yeah, I guess not.
John Jones came in second with 33% of the vote, and then there was a tie. Anderson Silva and Nate Diaz.
Mike, can we talk to Ronda Rousey?
With 8% each. Benson Henderson did not receive a vote in our poll.
That's unfortunate.
Why? Is it are they afraid of the name Henderson, our listeners?
they've got a block against Henderson.
No, I can't hear that name.
Could be. Next was the KO of the year. We had Anthony Pettis when he knocked out Lozon. That was round one of UFC 144. Matt Hunt when he knocked out Congo, round one of UFC 144. Kung Lee knocking out Franklin, I think, out of the UFC. That was UFC on Fuel 6. Roy Nelson, this was just recent, knocking out Mitrione on the Tough 16 final. And Machida knocking out Bader. That was round two, UFC on Fox 4. Now, I went with Kung Lee knocking Franklin out. He knocked him out in Japan, and he woke up in America.
Pretty much.
Nasty. What'd you vote for?
Well, of the choices, I went with Anthony Pettis versus Joe Lozon because I thought that was a spectacular knockout. Not as in it wasn't as spectacular a kick as the Showtime kick, but it was certainly effective. That being said, the slight here, the snub, I think is Edson Barbosa's spinning heel kick knockout of Terry Etim earlier in the year.
You are correct. Yes, you are correct with that. Probably should have been on the list, but...
Yeah.
Kung Lee's
knockout of Franklin was certainly spectacular. At least as far as Franklin just hitting the canvas like a rag doll. but it wasn't the most technical of knockouts, and Franklin's chin's always been suspect.
Yeah. Well, it has been ever since Silva mashed it into next week.
Yeah.
I think he's still recovering from that Muay Thai clinch. But anyway, let's find out. And the KO of the year was Kung Lee knocking out Rich Franklin. Fuel 6, 50% of the vote. Machida versus Bader, Fox 4, got 20% of the vote. And let's just check here who came in after that. Pettis and Lozon tied with Machida. So there you go.
Yep.
Now for the submission of the year. Of course, you have Ronda Rousey submitting Tate. That was the Strikeforce card. Paul Harries. Who did he submit UFC 142?
Mike Massenzio.
Massenzio, thank you. That was UFC 142. Catman and Alves, that was UFC on FX2. Diaz versus Miller, UFC on Fox 3. And Stefan Struve against Johnson, UFC 146. Who'd you go with?
I think if the Rousey Misha Tate
submission. Just how far Misha Tate's arm bent during that submission, and how long she held off from tapping.
Oh,
makes that a spectacular submission. I really don't see it as even close. There's a lot of good submissions this year. You know, Chang Sung Jun versus Dustin Poirier was another good one. The Nate Diaz submission was great as well. But, you know, just for the pure spectacle of it, I'll take Ronda Rousey in this one.
I would agree. Let's find out. And the winner, of course, was Ronda Rousey with 90% of the vote. That was the definite landslide victory right there. 90%, I believe there was only one other vote, and that was for Nate Diaz. Let me just check. Yeah, yes. It was Nate Diaz against Miller. So there you have it. Those were the first ever Sellies. Going back, Mainstream Wrestler of the Year, CM Punk. Indie Wrestler of the Year, Greek God Papadon. Mainstream Wrestling Card, WrestleMania. Indie Card, a tie between Raising the Bar from ECWA and CZW's Cage of Death. Comeback of the Year, Brock Lesnar. Mainstream Match of the Year, Triple H versus Undertaker from WrestleMania. Indie Match of the Year, Samurai Del Sol versus El Generico. Samurai Del Sol and El Generico taking on the Super Smash Brothers from Evolve 18. Indie Promotion, ECWA. MMA card was Bendo Diaz, that was UFC on Fox 5. MMA Fight, Rousey and Tate. Fighter of the Year, Rousey. KO was Kung Lee knocking out Rich Franklin, UFC on Fuel 6, and Submission of the Year, Ronda Rousey. So it was really, if you look back at those awards, really a year of Ronda Rousey, the clear-cut winner.
Clear-cut, I mean, she's just all over everywhere this year. And unfortunately not all over places where Dan would like, but that's all right.
Now, since this is our last show of 2012, your moment of the year at a show. Now, for Omega, this can be like your MMA moment of the year, because I don't think you, or if you went to a wrestling show, I think you did this year. But your moment of the year, Dan.
And by the way, Chris, Joe says you must go to ECWA.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking into it.
Okay. Am I going first?
Yeah, Dan. Moment of
the year. Period. Any show that I had to go to.
Yeah, you went to a bunch.
I will say this. I will harken back to what Joe said earlier, because there was a bunch of moments. I could pick 50 matches where just the crowd was on fire. What was happening in the ring was amazing, and I was just a kid again watching wrestling. But at War Games, when Papadon came out and assisted with Team Wild, that crowd, it sounded like there was 20,000 people there, really. It was really loud. It was really exciting until he stabbed everybody's back. That's the way he is. I can say that because he's not here. He always does, Big Mouth.
I don't say nothing.
And quite recently at New Moon Rising, when Castellucci came to the ring, that was pretty exciting. And quite frankly, going back to, what? Sorry, you asked?
No, Castellucci, I'm sorry.
Oh, Castellucci. When he was leaving. I'll see you guys in June.
Time, sorry.
I'll see you guys in June. I said, can you come back next month?
Yeah, right.
I'm like, no. I'm like, please, I'll pay you.
Castellucci. How about you, Omega? Your moment of the year.
I was going to say Rock beating Cena at WrestleMania on TV.
Oh, okay. You were giving, like, very... Okay, I see what you did there.
Yeah, I see what you did there. I, You know, I did actually go to one wrestling show. I went to a Raw show in Greensboro, and that happened to be the first time that Paul Heyman came out.
Look at you.
Come back to WWE. So that was kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, that was pretty cool. If I'm thinking about the moment of the year from an MMA perspective, there's just so many good fights.
Ronda Rousey walking to the ring.
Ronda Rousey. No, I don't know about that. I mean, I think, you know, Ronda Rousey has certainly won enough awards this year, and certainly her submission over Misha Tate was probably one of them.
She just won another award. I got news for you.
Yeah. But you know, I think the moment for me, and it's not a good moment, I was on the conference call. I was listening to the conference call. I wasn't on it when Dana White has effectively canceled UFC 151. It's a crazy moment in MMA.
What do you mean you were on the conference call?
I was listening to it. I wasn't actually on it.
How are you privileged to that call?
It was streamed on an MMA site. There was no privilege involved.
No, I agree with that because MMA for what, like 8 weeks, there was nothing going on really.
Yeah, it was just a big dead period of September, October. You know, and then Strikeforce, you think about that, and then right after that, it kind of snowballed, and Strikeforce canceled two cards.
Yeah.
And eventually, we'll fold here, and then, you know, week from Saturday will be the, 2 weeks from Saturday will be the final Strikeforce card.
I still think that sucks, even though I don't watch it.
Oh, it does.
It does.
How about you, Ryan? You had a banner year yourself. You've gone on record saying that this is the best year of your life.
I really, honestly, can I give you my highlight and low light, if that's okay?
Sure.
All right, well,
no,
I'll start with the low light.
No, it's not okay.
Well, you know what, Dan? No one asked.
You did? Yes, you did! You asked!
I caught myself on that one.
Anyway.
The low light for me, I think, honestly, had to be the fact that I want to say it was the night when it was Papadon and Adam Cole at ECWA, and the crowd was just dead.
Yeah.
I mean, just absolutely silent. You could hear a pin drop. It was awful. No matter what we tried to do to get the crowd into it, it was I thought I was.
No. You have the wrong one. It's not raising the bar. It wasn't Papadon and Cole. It was the May Show.
That was
Keikoa and Papadon.
Keikoa and Papadon, I'm sorry. But yeah, that was a great match. And it was silent. It was dead. We tried, I kid you not, Dan and Omega, tried.
Brian, I've been there at an ECWA match main event where everybody's sat there going,
No, you misunderstand. That we would have taken that. That would have been a good thing. It was more like this, Dan. It was more like that.
Just old Sprint commercials where the pin would drop at the end of it. Kind of like that.
You know what? It was so bad at one point. After intermission, Ryan and I go back to our seats. Joe comes up. He has his clipboard in his hand. He goes, what do I have to do? I don't get it. Because I planned since Super 8. As soon as Super 8 was over, I was planning. What do I have to do? It was such a surreal moment.
It really worked, though. I mean, he was so confused. He just didn't know what to do. He looked like he had it was a deer caught in the headlights. It really was. I don't blame him.
I don't get it, guys.
Oh, it was so funny. So funny. It was almost as bad.
I just had to get that out.
You know what? It was almost as bad as when Napalm Bomb was wrestling Cujo.
Oh!
and 30 seconds into the match.
Sorry.
people are chanting boring. People are so out of it. Joe comes behind, and I saw him walk over with the clipboard.
Yeah, I'm sitting right next to him.
And I see him in my peripheral vision, and I just started going, boring. He goes, he goes, it takes two to tangle. He was so mad.
He was mad. He goes, you guys are in for a treat tonight, aren't you?
The worst part is, it literally, like, was the bell rang, and then all of a sudden the boring chant started. I was like, give them a chance to do something.
They didn't do shit.
Okay, your highlight, Ryan.
I have two highlights, if you don't mind. I'm going to go, let me do the first one.
I do mind. And you asked.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't care if you mind. I'm going to tell you anyway.
And you asked again.
I know. My first highlight for me was probably one of the most recent cards seeing was CZW's Cage of Death. That just, oh my God, that was just crazy. It was great matches, and the worst part is probably the second best match in the card. We ended up missing because we were stuck out in the line, but that's a story for another day. And, you know, that was just an up top to bottom, a great card. And the Cage of Death match between DJ and Matt was just, oh my God. I thought, like I said, I said it once, I've said it 100 times, I'll say it again. I thought they died.
Yeah?
It was just, oh my gosh, it was crazy.
Oh.
All you can hear is the shattering glass.
So, Ryan.
Oh, I still hear it sometimes in my dreams.
Ryan, I do have a serious question. Are you done or you have a highlight?
One other highlight, real quick. And the other highlight was, when I got a chance to see that that guy, that real muscular guy from New Moon Rising Wrestling, Slim Burgundy. You know, I was pretty impressed. That dude is in good shape. I wish I
he's like gay.
I heard he has gets all the ladies and all. You know, they flock to him.
Yeah, let me tell you all the ladies.
Muscles,
you know. Yeah, they go, is this a man or a woman? I know. I was about to ask that one of your highlights wasn't, you know, taking a bump in front of a crowd of people.
It was. It really was. That was just awesome.
From someone you look up to, really, a mentor of sorts.
Absolutely. I mean, from a bunch of people I look up to and I respect a lot. You know, I mean, I just want to... Man, just real quick, I know I'm asking, but I'm going to ask one more time. Just
go. Just do it.
All right. Well, I just want to, you know, I personally just want to thank you, Dean, and you, Dan, and heck, when I'm at it, you know, thank you, Omega, you know, for some of the fun moments this year.
You know,
with the show itself, and even Mark, you know, even though he hasn't been around for 6 months, I'll still say thank you to him, too. Yeah, exactly. And just you deciding to do this show has brought so many opportunities for all of us, really, and just thank you. You know, thank you so much for opening some of those opportunities up for me.
Yeah. You know what? While we're on the Blow Dean thing, I have to agree with him. Really, and I've said it 100 times, but since this is the end of the year, let's recap it. We started off the year really hating podcasting, and we're ending the year on top, I think, of the heap, I think.
I accept it, guys.
No, I'm just saying, I really think we started the year really not enjoying what we were doing, and we are where we are right now. I mean, we are built with Omega. We've built a fan base. We interviewed Tully Blanchard.
Dan Severn.
Dan Severn. Exactly. We've interviewed Papadon 4,000 times.
Keikoa 3,000.
3,000 times. Bandito 2,000.
Actually, no. Bandito only has 2 under the Hell in a Cell banner. But I know what.
Where is Bandito?
He's one of the Fantastic Four. I'll get into that in a minute.
We've interviewed Joe too many times.
Actually, twice. This was only the second.
Which is, but it seems like it was a million times because Joe just keeps going and going.
Came from somebody who just didn't give a damn. and that lit a fire under your ass, and you pulled me out of his ass. I was blind, and now I can see, Dean, and I thank you for everything that I've been able to do, quite frankly, in the business so far.
There,
good excuse you.
It really was something that when you were in, you were stuck in a quagmire of awfulness. And now you're in.
I'm going to be on terrestrial radio. And three people are going to listen.
Yeah, terrestrial radio. Whatever happened to that?
I'm full of crap.
Yeah, big announcement.
My head is the shape of a peanut, and Maris is only on the show because she's got boobs.
Yeah. Welcome to another one. But no, what I was going to say. But what I was going to say is, of course, there was the whole thing with Tony Lane. Basically, what it came down to.
My ears. Oh, sorry.
But basically, what it came down to. But basically, what it came down to was he didn't want plugs. Basically, it boils down to.
You know what? Let's tell the story while we're here. He came to me.
Real quick,
shut up, Ryan! Shut up! I'm talking here! Go ahead, Ryan. You first.
No, I was just going to say, I find it hard to believe that he doesn't like plugs. I mean, he's got one shoved up his ass every day, you know.
Yes! Are you peeping to it, you son of a bitch? No, we were plugging a show. We had a Twitter account. I ran his Twitter account. I ran the Facebook page. All he did was pay for the website that nobody visited because nobody cared. And I was constantly on this site and on that site, plugging that show, plugging this show, and doing cross-promotion. And I don't remember what happened.
I missed a show. We did two shows. We did a live pre-show and something else.
We did the post-show.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. And he came to me and he said, I don't want you promoting Hell in the I don't want you promoting that show on our show anymore. Why? Well, you don't promote our show. What the hell are you talking about? And I said, okay, well, that's going to work out, but you know, whatever you say there, boss.
And I caught wind of that, and I said,
wind of it. I told you. I texted you when he was telling me. I was on the phone with you going, Dean, you don't believe this shit.
Well, getting back to the original reason of why this even started.
And
I was at the Super 8.
Chris Mann.
No, I was at the Super 8, and I spoke with John Finnegan about a potential interview, because John Finnegan, of course, if you know from ECW, now he's part of ECWA. Runs the locker room there, and senior official calls it right down the middle. And so I set up an interview with Finnegan, and it had to work around his schedule of his job. So set up, it was like a Saturday at 8. We were going to pre-record it.
Yeah.
Saturday at 8. Basically, Tony came to me and said, hey, I can't do Saturday.
I can't do Saturday because I'm going to be playing with myself.
Can he do Sunday at midnight?
No, asshole. Of course not.
And I said, I went through all this trouble to set up a fairly big interview at the time. John Finnegan from ECW. We can talk about ECW. We can talk about the Cena match. He refereed in WWE, One Night Stand. And you're going to – I said, that's enough. And I just took that interview for my own. And now, granted, I was – we did the Super 8 series of interviews, and there were the Fantastic Four, as I call them. And these are my go-to guys. Joe Zanoli, Greek God Papadon.
Who?
Keikoa Flying Hawaiian.
Gonna kick my ass.
Bandido Jr. Those are the four that...
The first guys we've interviewed.
Yeah, and they were the ones that have responded Since that time, of course, there's others that are within that. Like Matt Tremont is what I would consider a go-to guy.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. At this point.
Thank you, brother, for having me on. Thanks, brother.
That was good. That was good.
Sometimes Ryan's got timing.
He does.
Every now and then I get a winner.
Yeah, sometimes the sun shines on a dog's ass.
Now,
I'm picking on you, Ryan. I'm kidding.
So those were the Fantastic Four, and those were the guys that I can always count on. And I said, the hell with it. I have this connection with Joe. I can start my own thing. It became Hell in a Cell. And then with Tony saying, no more plugs, I said, well.
But it was out of nowhere. I don't understand.
It really was. It really was.
We were promoting his show. We were mentioning it. Twice, three times an episode on the half hours, and don't remember, and don't forget, folks, we're on blah, 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 the asshole crack in the morning on a show that nobody listens to. Come listen to us. Oh, you won't because you're sleeping because you have real lives.
Yeah, I always thought that it was a wonderful idea to run your show at midnight.
And then he blamed me. He said, every time I'd call you, you know, you never answer. Every time you happened to call me, I was doing something called fighting a fire, asshole. Hold on, guys. I got a phone call from the Tony Lane. I got to put the hose down.
So, I said, let's just try it. Got Mark and, you know, did the thing. Omega came on when Mark ran away.
Drunk.
And good gracious. So it's become a wonderful thing now.
Edit this, are you?
No. As far as my highlights, I would have to say, of course,
saving Tony Lane.
Well, besides that, launching Hell in a Cell Talk Radio with a very good friend in Dan, a very good longtime friend through the internet, through the magical internet, Omega.
You're talking about me first. Thanks, man.
I'm telling you, like, I've known Chris now since 2004.
Sorry.
And if you think about that, I mean, that's just amazing. 8 years. Of course, Ryan has been a correspondent on and off. Mark was there. So launching what I thought was a very good show. And, the voice of the independents is what I tried to get it with. Think about it. We've had on Mike Tartaglia, DJ Hyde, people who own companies in this business, Jake Bishop, of course. And that's where I'm going to now. My second highlight was, of course, I can remember it like it was yesterday, PG-13, the rebirth of New Moon Rising
Wrestling. Rising Wrestling. Those guys believed in you. They believed in us. They believed in the show, and they used us in a good way.
Yeah.
And it's been a great ride, quite frankly. And, you know, aside all that bullshit in wrestling where one person hates the other, you know, every show I've gone to I've had pretty much a good time at. And I like being able to, it gives me an excuse to travel to where I grew up once a month to see everybody and to help run a wrestling show. How could you lose?
Now, I was standing in the gorilla position. Brady was next to me. Robert was...
He was touching your butt.
No. Yeah. Robert was to the other side. Cliff announced Brady's name. Stumbled over a few things. The excitement of standing behind the curtain for the very first time and hearing the music, the Hell in a Cell theme, and waiting for that moment, you know, to break through the curtain. I think that moment, and I turned to Robert as the music started playing. I turned to Robert and I said, this is it. And he says, are you ready, brother? I said, yeah. And
that's what he said, are you ready, brother? From there.
Yeah. I said, yeah. And he goes, really ham it up when you go out there. And you can see from my Tron, that was Robert's advice.
You hammed it perfectly.
That was Robert's advice.
Now, what I want you to do, brother, is I want you to go into the ring and actually break your foot when you leave.
No, that was actually Justin's. He said break a leg, and I tried.
Oh, believe me, Dean wasn't walking right for quite a few weeks.
Oh, I saw his foot. I was like, at first I was making fun of him, but then when I saw his foot, I was like, I'm a terrible.
Oh, it was terrible.
That hurts.
Oh, it was terrible.
Oh,
another highlight besides launching the show and walking through the curtain for the first time, and of course this partnership with Brady, the commentary team.
Team in wrestling, Joe.
Well, I know what you're talking about. Anyway.
Yeah, what you're talking about? Yeah.
I'm waiting for another gift. But
which is in my ass. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't know what you're talking about.
Stop it. Just stop it. Was actually working an angle with Tank.
Working.
And it's, you know, the whole Christmas thing.
He's going to kill you, Dean.
Where I tried to steal the toys and everything, and Tank stops me. But being part of planning it with Tank, his thoughts about it, just, you know, being part of something that I really believe strongly in. And
let me say, being there firsthand for both of your angles, as a friend, I was happy for you. I almost was jealous. Like, God dang it. But I was really happy for you guys that you're in there doing it.
Dan, you stole the words out of my mouth. I was going to say the same thing. I'm very happy for you, Dean. I was very happy for you with that. And Tank was just, oh, my God. You were talking about just an awesome guy. Just
he looked like he was going to kill you. I mean, he fits the part. When is that footage going to air? 2 years from now, right?
I'm not sure.
2015, right, May?
You remember the Honeymooners? It was a classic show. Jackie yeah. Gleason, he had a book. Alice. But there were the lost episodes of the Honeymooners. I think one day they'll see light of day. I don't know.
I think at the shows there's market for those.
There's people on the fan page that want DVDs. They see the Scoop Slam. They want it. Whatever. And that's another thing, the Scoop Slam.
Families who want to get, you know, some of the wrestlers and managers, families want to get stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you a quick story? You know, a highlight for me was last show when Crazy Ivan ends the match, and he wins the match, which was a shocker to me. And he's doing his thing at ringside. He starts stealing things from people. And at the right-hand side of the front row, in front of the announce table, is Keikoa's, is it his wife?
Girlfriend.
And she's looking down and texting. Well, her purse is in her lap. It was in her lap because Crazy Ivan grabs it.
He's crazy.
He looks up. She looks up at me. And because I got the camera following him. And she looks at me like, I'm getting that back, right?
No.
No. He's crazy. I'm not getting it. It was. And
you try to get it, lady. Jeez.
You'll go get it from him. He's hitting himself in the head. And the only other thing was Mark Angel almost kicking the camera out of my, almost dropping a $1,200 camera on the concrete floor. And I saved that crap.
Don't worry, Mark's been training. His athletic skills will allow him to catch it real quick.
Dude. You ask Kelly. I was the man on that one because that shit almost hit the floor.
Yes.
I still haven't seen it. So.
It's great because I follow him into the ring and I'm down at ringside looking up at him entering and then his foot, all you see is the camera go, whee! He nailed it with his foot like he was trying to kick it. Like.
So, yeah, some amazing developments, of course, being part of New Moon Rising Wrestling and the Scoop Slam. If you've been lucky enough to see some of these, how much fun they are, to see, like, what it takes to actually get the finished product. I'm hoping that there's going to be some bloopers.
I hope so.
Oh, one day.
Those are cool.
The wand, that Brady did the wand the first time, and I'm telling you, it was just,
if that had only been, if you were only not able, you know, able to keep a straight face, that was absolutely priceless.
Oh, definitely.
The, watching you guys try to film the Christmas one.
Oh, goodness.
Just what a good time to enter a building. That's all I'm trying to say. And I would just like to thank everybody for listening, for using time of your day and giving us a ear to talk to. I am flattered, quite frankly, that anybody gives a crap that what I have to say, or if they really just want to listen to Dean, they're pretending when I care. It kind of amazes me that anybody cares. And the amount of people that listen, I thank all of you. I got to jump. You guys have a great rest of the show. Thank you, Dean. Chris, thanks for being part of this. Ryan, go to hell. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Ryan.
Touché, sir. Touché.
Yeah, yeah. No, Ryan, Happy New Year. Thank you for being part of this. Follow me at DanLaw83, and I will talk to you gentlemen next week.
All right, Dan. Thank you as well.
Absolutely, thanks, sir.
Man. See you, Dan.
So, there we go. Dan has left the building. And, yeah, I was just going to say Scoop Slam, working with Brady. Even tonight, Mike Bessler from Pro Wrestling Illustrated calling in is an amazing thing as well. So just a lot of good stuff as we end the year. Now, next year. Omega, we didn't even talk. There's a big card coming up this weekend.
There's a big card this weekend.
Of course, that is the rematch. So, good gracious. That's Junior Dos Santos taking on Cain Velasquez for the heavyweight title in UFC. We're not going to get into it because, hell, it's 11:30 right now.
Yeah.
but we will talk about it next week. The results, I'm still undecided if it's Extreme Rising or if it's a UFC night. So
I was actually going to ask you that and all what you were thinking of that. So that kind of...
I'm still 50-50. It's an all-fair discussion, but we will discuss it, obviously, in the next few days. But big matches coming up for that. And next week, we have Damian Dragon, the first entrant into the ECWA Super 8. He'll be joining us. We also have Omega. Do your homework. Conduct another great interview.
Doing my due diligence.
Yes. We have Steve Ocho Peterson from Legacy Fighting Championships. He will be joining us. Unfortunately, he lost his last fight against Hobart. But that, of course, gives us some amazing things to say about that. You know, what do you learn from a loss like that?
Yeah.
Of course, the first time against Hobart, the match was controversial. Well, not really a controversial stoppage, but Hobart dislocated his shoulder. And during the aftermath of that, Peterson rubbed his eyes as if he were crying for the dislocation. Of course, that makes him a bad guy in the eyes of the fans. But he said he was doing it because of the booze. But we'll talk about that next week with Steve Ocho Peterson. And that's from Texas, so that's it's exciting because this Legacy Fighting Championships I'm all about, and I think it's a nice little regional promotion out of Texas. Have you had a chance? I know you don't get access, but have you had a chance to check it out, Chris?
I have not yet, but I'm going to. I don't get access. It sucks.
Yeah, because access they really show those regional promotions, and that's a great thing. So. Can't wait for that. And who knows what else we're going to have so next week. So, of course, find people?
Good. You know, let me ask you, with this outgrowth, with the MMA guys, I mean, you have the last, you know, a couple guys now coming from the Texas type, that area and all, is it safe to say that Hell in a Cell has now gone coast to coast? It's gone, at least, from an American standpoint, it's gone basically all over America now?
Oh, well, sure. I'm sure we have listeners all over. We're international, quite frankly.
You still have that Croatia listener, I think, right?
There is one listener in Croatia. But we have Harry Barnett, of course, in England.
Right.
Oh, tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow, Hell in a Cell. I didn't have a chance to talk to Dan about this, but tomorrow, Hell in a Cell is probably going to win a bunch of BradyHicks.com awards.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have, like, best everything.
Soon we will take over the world.
Yes, that's what we do every night.
BradyHicks.com.
Well, we'll take over that world first.
We'll take over, yeah.
And then move on to brighter things. But, no, even the friendship with Brady, and you can attest to this, Ryan, has been an amazing thing. We did one show.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, but we did one show, and he asked us to syndicate, and there we've been. So,
and he's even asked me on. He's even asked me on before, which is, you know, on his show, which is pretty cool. You know, that's something for me that was, you know, and I think he's asked. I know he's asked you. I think he's, you know, and you and Dan really. You know,
Dan's been on.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Dan's been on. I just call in now if I want to. The heck with that. But tomorrow, I have to get my acceptance speeches ready. Yes. I can't wait to read the one for Rivalry of the Year. Good gracious. And I know Omega's just waiting to hear that. Don't worry, I'll play... Don't worry, I'll play highlights next week. Of our time on In the Room, which comes on tomorrow. So that should be interesting. Now, of course, Ryan, where can the fine people find you?
They got two choices. And all. I'm breaking kayfabe, I realize, but the heck with it. I'm going to do it anyway. It's overtime. Why not? So they can find me at Slim Burgundy for the...
Wait, who's that? Yeah, that rotund man.
The guy with the giant muscles who's in phenomenal shape. And he takes on, he's the Feral Fitness. You can find me there on Twitter. You can find me there on Facebook. Do Slim Burgundy with that. Search Slim Burgundy. You can also do do Twitter for at Ryan Big Burgundy. So, you know, it's not too difficult to get both in one shot.
That's true. Followers equal.
I know you want to move on with this, but one thing I just want to say, and I'm going to plug it a little bit. The birthday party the first one we did for New Moon.
Yeah.
And that was just such an amazing experience. The kids had a ton of fun. Everybody had a good time. The wrestlers had a good time. Everybody. The parents. So, I mean, if you're thinking about something for your kids, if you have kids out there, or if you know somebody with kids, as far as doing some type of a birthday party, it was just a ton of fun. Everybody had a great time. So definitely something worth looking into. At NMRWrestling.com with the birthday packages are all there. They got, you know, you can email for more information, but it was so much fun. And hopefully one day we'll be able to get you involved with that, Dean.
You never know. The Dean of Credibility, he's filled up, you know. Sundays are tough for the Dean of Credibility. hopefully if they can schedule one on a Saturday. Chris, where can the fine people find you?
The fine people can find me on the Twitter, at Omega Squad. I am there most days.
I should really let you write for the blog. If you ever have a bug, let me know.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about it.
Yeah, let me know.
I always want to talk to you off air about something like that. So.
Okay, definitely, yeah. Because I have trouble updating it. So the more, the merrier. And you can find me at Folsom County. You can find me, search for my real name. That's Dean Dixon. It's all over the blog talk thing, so just click on me there. We're also at HIACTalkRadio.com. You can follow the Twitter at HIACTalkRadio. There's a Facebook at Cell in a Hell, Facebook.com/CellInAHell. And follow me personally on Twitter at Folsom County. Now, guys, it was Christmas.
Don't forget at the end of all 83.
Well, he plugged himself.
I know, but an extra plug for him. I'm in the generous holiday spirit.
More generous than I.
It's Boxing Day. You're supposed to return it.
Yeah. But for everybody, my goodness, it's been one hell of a year. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks for coming on the show, and just thanks for being part of the family. See you next year. It's like a Christmas gift. It starts out so well, you unwrap it, and it's filled with
Nah, have a good one. That's edited, so that's fine.